like porn.
I think that porn is disgusting.
I don't get nothing off of it, you know what I'm saying?
It's good for people who need it.
I think it's a little bit too widespread now.
I'm not a very big fan of it.
Actually watching other people get into sexual relations.
Lesbian porn is my favorite kind of porn.
I don't see how people can, like, disrespect themselves that much.
I think girls, at heart, they really enjoy it.
I've seen occasionally with some of the guy friends. It's more with the guys.
It's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I'll watch it.
I don't have a problem with it. I've used it.
Cheap, pleasurable entertainment.
I jerked off last night too.
I like pornography.
But I mean, if you don't have a girlfriend, then, you know, go for it.
Lots of times people live by themselves or aren't dating at the time or whatever.
I guess if that's your thing, go for it.
I think it's fun. Enjoy it.
I enjoy it. I watch it probably
once a day.
If the only way you can get your jollies is by watching other people have sex.
I love pornography. I like pornography because you get your freak on. Freak on is what's happening right about now. I'm trying to get my freak on tonight, as a matter of fact.
Hey, sweetie. I'm so old that what I think doesn't make any damn difference.
I think it's just a particular freedom that we have.
It falls under the First Amendment.
As long as it's not hurting minors and infringing on anyone's civil liberties, I don't see anything wrong with it.
I don't think you should do it all the time. You should look at it all the time because it's not healthy for a relationship, like if you have a girlfriend.
Everybody I know who's really into porn are very respectful people, so I have a really good image of it, personally.
It kind of exposes women, but it has its place.
It's better than unsafe sex.
It's just another form of entertainment.
It's basically an art form.
I did use it to get some pointers.
Yeah, this kid right here, he watches it like 4 times a day.
I'm not like a big porn king or anything like that, but
I'm not much of a magazine guy. I go for the occasional free internet porn.
Push the button, turn the monitor on, you know, and you've got it.
Our culture revolves around TNA, pretty much.
Sex sells, definitely.
Sex sells.
I think sex is something that should be private.
I'm sure everyone at some point watches porn.
And you can actually just do research and it just kind of pops up every now and then.
30%?
45%.
He's 40 to 50%.
It's probably 50%.
At the least, 50%.
Way more than half.
60%.
I'd say 60 to 70%.
60 or 70%.
It'd be like 65%.
65.
Oh, 65.
I'd probably say like 75%.
Maybe like 75%. That sounds like good.
75 to 80%.
75, 80% probably.
I'd say about 75, maybe 80.
Probably like 80.
Like 80.
80%.
I'd say 80%.
Say around 80%.
I'd say around 85% or so like that.
Probably 99% of males.
99 and 41 hundredths percent.
Well, I would say among the students with testicles, it's about 100%.
I think people like it. A lot of people like it.
I'm not a big fan of it at all.
They do have like student discounts for like buying Playboy. That's all I know that.
A new presentation offers a shocking picture of how college students view our sex-saturated culture.
It was so popular, students were actually turned away because there weren't enough seats.
Please welcome Michael Leahy and
covering porn addict Michael Leahy.
Michael Leahy's life
porn
came crashing down.
Former sex addict Michael Leahy.
Michael Leahy's addiction.
Michael Leahy.
To warn college students of the dangers of porn.
Michael Leahy says his addiction started by the lies of porn.
Plná miestnosť, teším sa z toho, úžasné. Vitajte na Porne národa v slovenskom vydaní.
My name is Michael Leahy.
Volám sa Michael Leahy.
And I'm excited to be here. This is my... Ooh, we even have music. It's the microphone. This is my second time in Europe.
Veľmi sa teším, že tu môžem byť s vami. Je to moja druhá návšteva Európy.
First time in Slovakia, so thank you for inviting me here.
A je to prvá návšteva tu na Slovensku, takže týmto ďakujem všetkým pozývateľom za milé pozvanie.
Now, as you notice, you talked to 20 students and one tenured professor.
Tak ako ste si všimli, mali ste príležitosť pokecať s 20 študentami a s jedným starším profesorom.
And you get all kinds of opinions and attitudes about this subject, pornography.
A naozaj nájdete celé spektrum rôznych názorov v súvislosti s pornografiou.
But what do we really understand about it? What do we really know about it?
Čo však skutočne vieme o pornografii?
Well, for one thing, it's a huge industry. It's a $97 billion a year industry worldwide.
Tá prvá vec, ktorú vieme, je, že je to dobrý biznis, prináša 97 miliardový obrat.
In the states where I'm from and in Europe, it's about a $10 to $12 billion a year industry.
V Spojených štátoch, ale takisto v Európe, je to v tom rozpetí približne 10 až 20 miliard.
Now, where I'm from, that's more revenue than is generated by all the professional football, baseball and basketball teams combined.
A tá oblasť, z ktorej ja pochádzam, v tejto oblasti sex, priemysel produkuje väčšie finančné prostriedky alebo väčší obrat ako dokopy basketbal, baseball a volejbal.
In fact, in the United States, where Hollywood will produce about 400 to 500 new movies every year.
Hollywood produkuje každý rok približne 4500 nových filmov.
The porn industry will generate about 11,000 new titles.
A porno priemysel produkuje každý rok 11,000 nových titulov.
And most of those will generate a profit.
A väčšina z nich samozrejme prináša dobrý výnos.
We know that on the internet there are over 40 million people surfing internet porn sites every day.
Každý deň na internete je približne 40 miliónov ľudí, ktorí browsujú porno stránky.
And here's something that most people don't know. One out of every three of those is a woman.
A jedna skutočnosť, ktorú väčšina ľudí nevie, je fakt, že každý tretí, alebo každá tretia z týchto troch ľudí je žena.
That's right. Women and couples are the fastest growing market within the porn industry.
Ženy a páry sú tým najrýchlejšie rastúcim publikom v pornopriemysle.
But let's talk a little bit more specifically about you, about your age group.
Avšak zastavme sa teraz a hovorme trošku viac o vás, o vašej vekovej skupine.
We know that the average college student today was first exposed to pornography when you were about 10 or 11 years old on average.
Priemerný vysokoškolák je vystavený pornografii približne vo veku 11 alebo 12 rokov.
And enough of you went back to the material again and again that between 12 and 17 years old you made up the biggest consumer group of porn users.
A mnoho z tých ľudí sa vráti k tej pornografii, takže medzi 12. a 17. rokom reprezentujú najväčšiu časť ľudí, ktorá používa pornografiu.
In fact, long before you ever stepped foot on campus here, at least 90% of you and your peers had multiple exposure to hardcore pornography.
Pravda je taká, že väčšina z vás skôr ako prišla sem na vysokú školu alebo vstúpila na internát, možno až 90% z vás mala opakovanú skúsenosť s pornografiou.
Which is the whole reason that I'm here.
A to je ten dôvod, pre ktorý som tu.
Is because your age group has the most at risk in terms of your consumption of pornography, whether you choose to view it or not.
Vaša veková skupina je najviac ohrozená v súvislosti s vystavením sa pornografii bez ohľadu na to, či vedome robíte preto kroky alebo nie.
Now, I'm sure there are some of you sitting there going, okay, come on. I mean, this is just porn, it's no big deal.
A viem, že niektorí tu sedíte a hovoríte si, ale prosím ťa, nebuď trápny, je to len porno, no a čo?
I mean, you know, bad lighting, bad acting, you know, but we know what we're there for.
Je to mizerný herecký výkon, o ničom, ale všetci vieme, o čo tam kráča.
So it doesn't hurt anyone. It's totally harmless. And plus the fact, if you don't like it, then just don't look at it.
Neublíži to nikomu, nie je to nič zlé proti niekomu. A keď to neurobí nič zlé, tak o čo vlastne kráča?
Now, those are two big assumptions that actually the entire porn industry is built on.
To sú dva predpoklady, na ktorom je však celý pornopriemysel postavený.
But what I want to do tonight is to challenge you to think critically about this subject, about this issue.
Avšak to, čo chcem dnes večer urobiť, je vyzvať vás, aby ste rozmýšľali rozvážne o tejto oblasti.
For instance, what if one or both of those assumptions
that čo keď jeden z tých predpokladov alebo oba z nich
that we thought were true turn out to be not so true.
O ktorých sme si mysleli, že sú pravdivé, sa ukáže neskôr, že nie sú pravdivé.
In other words, what if instead of choosing whether we view the material or not,
čo keď to rozhodnutie, či si pozriem alebo nepozriem porno,
we start to discover that choice is increasingly being made for us.
Čo keď zistíme, že to rozhodnutie, čím ďalej, tým menej ho robíme my, ale robí ho niekto druhý?
Or what if we discover that this material, this harmless material, may have been doing some harm that we weren't really aware of for some time?
Alebo čo keď zistíme, že tento takzvaný neškodný materiál už nejaký čas celkom vážnym spôsobom škodí?
These are some of the things we're going to explore tonight together.
Toto sú niektoré z tých vecí, ktoré budeme spolu dnes večer skúmať.
And I mentioned together because you're going to be part of the conversation.
A ja som úmyselne povedal, že budeme skúmať, pretože naozaj chcem, aby ste boli súčasťou tejto konverzácie.
After I present my side of it and my story,
a potom ako vám poviem ten svoj príbeh a svoj pohľad na vec,
we want to hear from you. And so we're going to have an open question and answer time.
Chceme počuť vaše názory, takže budeme mať príležitosť pre otázky a odpovede.
We'll do that for a few minutes tonight and we'll do a more expanded version of this tomorrow night.
Dnes večer budeme mať takú krátku príležitosť urobiť to a potom zajtra večer budeme v tomto pokračovať.
And then also we'll be handing some comment cards out later on tonight so that you can share your own views and comments privately.
Na konci večera budeme mať takisto príležitosť k tomu, aby ste si zobrali jednu z kartičiek spätnej väzby a aby ste mohli súkromne zareagovať a povedať nám svoj pohľad na vec.
And it gives you a chance to ask some questions anonymously if you'd like.
A to vám samozrejme dá okrem iného aj príležitosť k tomu, aby ste sa spýtali niektoré otázky anonymne.
So, does that sound good?
Môže byť?
Okay. Yeah. We're gonna catch the questions a little later on.
Takže neskôr sa dostaneme k tým otázkam.
Okay, so with that, let me ask you guys a question. How many of you are fairly certain you know pornography when you see it? Can I see a show of hands?
Takže, prvá otázka. Koľko z vás si myslíte, že keď zbadáte porno, tak viete, že je to porno?
Oh. Wow, welcome to Slovakia, right?
Vítajte na Slovensku.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna challenge you, in fact, I don't think you can.
A viete čo? Chcem vás vyzvať. Ja si myslím, že to nie je tak.
In fact, I know that you can't, not all the time.
Som presvedčený o tom, že nie vždy, keď zbadáte porno, viete, že je to porno.
And I'm going to prove that in a minute with a first video of several videos that we'll show tonight.
A za minútku vám to dokážem niekoľkými videami, ktoré ukážeme dnes večer.
But first I want to start us off with a common understanding of what pornography is.
Ale chcem začať tým, že si spoločne zadefinujeme, čo pornografia je.
Okay. You read in the dictionary, you look it up in the dictionary.
Ak si otvoríte slovník a prečítate si to tam.
And it basically says that pornography is any material designed with the express purpose of arousing you sexually.
V princípe väčšina slovníkov vám povie, že pornografia je akýkoľvek materiál, ktorý je pripravený so zámerom, aby vás sexuálne vzrušil.
In fact, I looked up a second dictionary definition.
Keď som sa pozrel na inú definíciu z iného slovníka.
And it said that while pornography is the result of a creative process,
ktorý zas hovoril, že pornografia je výsledkom tvorivého procesu.
It has no literary or artistic value whatsoever other than to sexually arouse.
A nemá žiadnu inú umeleckú či inú hodnotu, ako vás sexuálne vzrušiť.
So I want you to keep that in mind as you watch this first video.
Takže chcem vás poprosiť, aby tieto definície ste si držali niekde v pamäti, ako budete pozerať na tieto videá.
See if you recognize any of these images, if you've ever seen any of these before or something like it.
Ako sa budete pozerať, všimnite si, či niektoré z tých pohľadov alebo tých klipov ste už videli.
And then I'll come back and prove my point that in the world of porn, things aren't always quite as they seem.
A ja sa potom vrátim a pokúsim sa dokázať, že vo svete porna veci nie sú vždy tak, ako sa zdajú byť.
Let's take a look.
Takže pozrime sa na to.
Reality TV. Music videos, sitcoms, movies, talk shows. These are just the tip of the sexual iceberg that is our culture today. The average person watches 4 hours of television per day, a fourth of his waking life, which is plenty of time to shape a person's perspective about sex. Television is the primary information source for many people, forming their worldview their beliefs, and their lifestyles. A sexual emphasis from television has an astounding impact on the culture, and television is just the beginning. Magazines, historically considered a reflection of society, tell a similar story. Here, sexual content is often more intense and is more readily available. Now, just to put things in perspective, this is what the cover of Playboy magazine looked like in the early 50s. And here's what a typical centerfold looked like. One look at a typical magazine today, and it's obvious that the line has moved. What we once considered pornographic has become the norm today. And the porn industry has moved on to more and more graphic depictions of sex to satisfy the demands for new and exciting material. And this is saying nothing of the internet, which is still in the early growth stages in terms of delivering on its promise to offer more and different types of porn. The next big thing? Putting porn right in your pocket, with full streaming video on the next generation of cell phones. So, the culture is coming of age sexually. Maybe that's just a natural part of the development of a society. Perhaps mankind is gradually moving from being a sexually repressed creature to becoming sexually and psychologically liberated. Maybe getting in touch with our sexuality is just a natural byproduct of the improvements technology affords us. Even religion has seemed to loosen up from some of the conservative views it pushed historically. After all, we're simply better informed today, replacing ancient myths with scientific facts and practical experiences. If sex is effective for advertising and entertainment, as long as no one is denied any freedoms or rights, maybe it's only natural that sex should be reflected more and more prominently in the culture.
Sex is always going to be something that people are going to be interested in and aroused by. That's just the way it is. That's our biological instinct nature. They're going to respond by spending money. They're going to respond by being interested in sex sells. It is something that the entertainment industry and advertisers are always going to have as a powerful technique.
Common logic says that as long as people have the freedom to make their own decisions, as long as everyone's responsible, and as long as nobody gets hurt, there's no reason to be concerned about the prominence of sex in the culture, no matter how big it gets. But the fallout is undeniable. Eating disorders, once virtually non-existent, now affect an alarming 1 in 4 women on campus, and an increasing number of men. Sex crimes, rather than subsiding under the new sexual liberation, have increased in staggering numbers. It's estimated that for every rape reported in America, as many as 5 to 8 go unreported. The pressure on women to comply with this sexual revolution has created uncertainty about the definition of consensual sex. Date rape, a common theme in pornography, is often passed off as a normal part of the seduction process. In porn, no almost always means yes. On average, each American teen is exposed to 14,000 sexual messages and images each year through mainstream media and advertising. Just a few generations ago, the average person wouldn't see that many in his entire lifetime. New technologies are creating media saturation like never before. While the free flow of information is good, the volume is simply overwhelming, causing many to buy into the sexual message without really thinking about it. Whether we agree with it or not, porn has become the norm. And despite all the information available today, fewer people are making informed decisions about their sexuality, caving under the weight of the popular media's heavy influence. Without a doubt, sex is front and center in our world today.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you recognize some, if not most, of those images? Or at least you've seen images like that before?
Takže, najprv otázočka. Koľko z vás, ako ste sa pozerali na to, videli ste niektoré momenty, niektoré obrázky, obrazy, ktoré ste už videli predtým?
To me kind of... Okay, yeah. We've seen that before. That shouldn't be any surprise. Most of that came from just basic TV.
Videli sme to už. Žiadne veľké prekvapenia. Väčšinu z tých vecí môžete v pohode vidieť v telke.
Okay, now let me ask you, be honest. How many of you before tonight hearing the definition of pornography would have ever thought any of that as being porn?
Otázka číslo 2, buďte prosím úprimní, koľký z vás predtým ako ste dnes večer počuli definíciu porna, by ste definovali tieto jednotlivé klipy alebo jednotlivé zábery ako pornografické?
Some?
Niektorí,
few hands.
Niekoľko rúk.
Yeah. Not nearly as many as put their hands up before. Wait a minute, I thought almost everyone in this room said you knew porn when you saw it, right?
Zďaleka nie je toľko ľudí ako predtým, keď videli v tom pornografický pohľad.
Well, see, now here's kind of what's interesting about that. It might not seem like that big of a deal to you.
Viete, to je tá zaujímavá vec. Ako sa na to pozeráte, možno sa vám to nezdá nič mimoriadne, nič zvláštne.
But actually, when we're talking about pornography, regardless of how you feel about it or what you think about it.
Avšak keď hovoríme o pornografii, bez ohľadu na to, ako to vy cítite, ako to vnímate.
If by definition it's pornography.
Z definície to je pornografia.
And since we've all been created as sexual beings,
a keďže všetci z nás sme stvorení, sme prirodzene ako sexuálne bytosti,
we've been designed in a way to respond to sexual stimuli.
Sme stvorení tak, aby sme reagovali na sexuálne stimuli.
Then what's really important here isn't what you think about porn.
A potom nie je dôležité to, čo si myslíme o porne,
but actually how you're responding to it.
Ale to, ako reagujeme na to.
Now granted, I know some of you are probably sitting back going, come on, this is called Porn Nation, you know, is that the best you got?
Niektorí z vás, viem, že tu sedíte a hovoríte si, toto sa volalo, že porno národ, ako toto je max, čo máš?
And at the same time, there are some of you who are sitting there going, you know, not really wanting to look at some of these images.
A sú tu možno iní, ktorí sa pozerali na to a hovorili si, neveľmi mám chuť to pozerať ďalej.
We're going to talk about this and we're going to dig a little deeper into why it is that we respond the way we do to different examples of pornography.
Trošku sa do toho zahlbíme a budeme rozmýšľať o tom, prečo je to, že reagujeme rozdielnym spôsobom na pornografiu.
And as part of this conversation, I'm going to share with you two things that both the porn industry and mainstream media's use of sexual imagery advertisers and marketers don't want you to know about.
A ako budeme o tomto hovoriť, tak vám chcem poukázať na dve veci, ktoré výrobcovia pornografie nechcú, aby ste vedeli.
I call it their dirty little secrets that they want to keep from you.
Nazývam to ich malé špinavé tajomstvá, ktoré vám nechcú prezradiť.
But as we start to dig into this, this is a very personal aspect of understanding pornography.
A skôr ako do toho rypneme, chcem povedať, že je to veľmi taký osobný aspekt pornografie.
So maybe it's best for me to start sharing with you my personal story.
A preto asi by bol fér, ak by som začal tým, že vám poviem svoj osobný príbeh.
Now, I was about 11 years old.
Mal som asi 11 rokov vtedy.
Average age of first exposure when I first saw porn.
Teda v priemernom veku toho, keď dieťa je vystavené prvýkrát pornu.
And I'll never forget my reaction. Number one, it was some kids on a playground and they were looking at some playing cards.
A nikdy nezabudnem na tú chvíľu, boli sme ako decka na ihrisku a niektoré decka mali nejaký časopis.
And they called me over to take a look and they said, hey, check it out, you know.
A oni ma zavolali, poď, pozri sa na to.
And so I'm like, what, playing cards, so what?
A ja som zavolal, no, karty, no a čo?
And they're like, no, dummy, you know, turn it over.
A oni hovoria, nie, otvor to, obrať ju tú
kartu. So I looked on the back and there she was, naked from the waist up.
Obrátil som teda tú kartu a tam bola nahá žena.
And I'd never seen a picture of a naked woman before.
A ja som dovtedy nikdy nevidel obraz nahej ženy, alebo nevidel som nahú ženu.
And so I remembered my reaction very clearly. Number one, I liked it.
Veľmi jasne si pamätám tú reakciu. Poprvé, páčilo sa mi to.
Yeah, I was like, okay, let's see the rest of the cards in this deck. Let's kind of start going through
these.
Tak som
si hovoril, no otočte aj tie ostatné karty, prezrime to celé.
I mean, I'm only 11 years old. I don't understand what's going on inside of me.
Mal som vtedy 11 rokov, nemal som páru o tom, čo sa deje hlboko vo mne vnútri.
But I was attracted to it, clearly.
Ale jednoznačne som bol k tomu priťahovaný.
But at the same time, I remember a second, very different reaction.
Avšak zároveň si pamätám na druhú, veľmi rozdielnú reakciu.
I remember looking at this thinking, I don't know if I'm supposed to be looking at this.
Pozeral som sa na to a hovoril som si, neviem, či by som sa mal na to pozerať.
You know, feeling a little guilty, a little full of shame.
Cítil som trošku taký pocit viny, cítil som sa taký zahambený.
It wasn't like I was going to go home that night from school and say, hey, mom, dad, look what I learned at school today.
Nebolo to také, že dojdem domov zo školy a poviem, oci, mami, pozrite sa, čo som sa naučil v škole.
So I did what I think most people do, maybe many of you. I just kind of kept it to myself. I kept it a secret.
A tak som urobil to, čo by asi väčšina ľudí urobila. Prosto som si to nechal pre seba ako svoje malé tajomstvo.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, but in my home growing up,
neviem ako vy, ale v našej domácnosti, kde sme vyrastali,
we just didn't talk about sex.
Sme nerozprávali o sexe.
And we certainly didn't talk about porn.
A celkom jednoznačne sme nehovorili o porne.
So I kept it to myself, but I liked what I saw, so I started looking out for it.
A tak som si to na jednej strane nechal pre seba, a na druhej strane sa mi páčilo, čo som videl, a tak som to začal vyhľadávať.
And this was kind of like an interesting thing in my life.
A bola to taká zaujímavá epizódka môjho života.
Until I hit that interesting age of puberty.
Až kým som neprišiel do toho veľmi zaujímavého veku zvaného puberta.
Where I discovered that like pornography plus masturbation equaled orgasm and it was like I was discovering electricity or something.
A kde som rozpoznal tú novú rovnicu, ktorá hovorila, že pornografia a masturbácia sa rovná vzrušenie a bolo to ako objavenie elektriny.
I was really curious to see how he was going to translate that. You know?
Chcel som vedieť, ako to preloží.
And you know, I mean, what do you do with that? You know, you definitely don't talk to mom and dad about that.
No, so. A čo s tým všetkým spravíte? Ako nie sú to vecičky, ktoré utekáte a porozprávate ockovi a mamičke?
But all of a sudden, here's what changed for me.
Ale zrazu sa niečo zmenilo pre mňa vo mne.
Now this was more than just a hobby.
Teraz to už bolo viac ako také hobby.
Now I discovered that wow, if I'm feeling bad about myself,
zistil som, že keď sa cítim zle v súvislosti so sebou, mám zlý pocit zo seba,
or if I'm stressed out because I had an argument with my dad or you know something happened at home or at school,
alebo som vystresovaný, pohádal som sa s otcom, niečo sa stalo doma v škole,
I could just go to my little great escape.
Mohol som sa stratiť na to moje miestečko.
And through masturbating to porn, I would totally change the way I felt.
A masturbáciou s pornom som úplne zmenil to, ako som sa cítil.
And it wasn't hurting anyone and it was just my own private thing.
Neublížilo to nikomu, bola to len moja malá súkromná vecička.
But it was almost like it started to become my own mood altering drug, if you will.
Ale začalo sa to stávať niečím, čo by som nazval drogou zmeny nálady, ak to tak môžem povedať.
So now all of a sudden I have a relationship with pornography.
A zrazu som sa našiel v tom, že som mal vzťah k pornografii.
And as I started to turn to the material more and more, I was also exposing myself to porn's belief system.
A ako som začal hľadať viac a viac pornografického materiálu, tak som sa vystavil celej tej filozofii pornografii.
Pornography for me had a very clear picture of what it meant to be a real man.
A pornografia na jednej strane mi kreslila veľmi jasný pohľad toho, čo to znamená byť skutočným mužom.
And of course it had a very clear picture of what it meant to be a real woman.
A samozrejme mi kreslila obraz toho, čo to znamená byť skutočnou peknou ženou.
You know, real men in porn were, you know, they sexually dominated women.
Skutoční muži v porne sexuálne dominovali ženám.
It was all about being pleased. It was all about being a sexual conqueror of women.
A všetko to bolo o tom, ako muž bol sexuálne uspokojený, ako dobil ženu.
And women in porn had there was a very clear picture of them as well.
A žena takisto mala jasný obraz v porne.
You know, women in porn were basically valued based on their body shape and size.
Ženy v porne boli hodnotené podľa toho, ako vyzeralo ich telo, akú malo formu.
And of course in terms of how sexual they were with men.
A ich hodnota sa ešte odvíjala od toho, ako boli sexuálne výkonné pri mužovi.
How willing they were to meet our sexual needs.
Ako boli schopné a ochotné naplniť naše sexuálne potreby.
And so that's just how I started viewing relationships at a very young age.
A takto som sa ja začal v tom veľmi mladom veku pozerať na vzťahy.
And to be honest with you, that was considered pretty normal amongst my friends and I.
A ak mám byť veľmi úprimný, bolo to niečo úplne normálne medzi mojimi kamošmi.
So in dating relationships and later on in college certainly, you know, being real sexual was pretty normal.
A tak v tých prvých vzťahoch, ale aj neskôr, keď sme išli na výšku, rozvíjanie takýchto sexuálnych vzťahov bolo niečo úplne normálne.
In fact, it was a big part of my self-esteem and how I was viewed by my friends.
V skutočnosti to bolo o tom, že mi to pridalo sebahodnotu, ak som sa takto sexuálne správal.
And I always remember thinking in college that, you know, one day I'm going to graduate from college.
A ja som si vždy myslel, ako som bol na výške, že jedného dňa, keď raz skončím vysokú.
Yeah, I can continue to be sexual and I can even continue to use the porn and no big deal.
Môžem ďalej sexuálne takto žiť, môžem ďalej pozerať porno.
But one day I am going to meet that woman who's going to maybe be my wife.
Ale raz jedného dňa stretnem tú ženu, ktorá raz bude mojou manželkou.
And that somehow she will just kind of magically meet all of my sexual needs.
A ona potom voľajako magicky naplní všetky moje sexuálne potreby.
And by then I definitely won't need the porn anymore, so that'll be easy to give up.
A potom už jasné, že od toho dňa nebudem potrebovať porno a tak sa ho ľahko vzdám.
Well, after graduating from college and getting my degree and going out into the working world.
A potom ako som skončil školu a išiel som do pracovného sveta.
I met that woman of my dreams one day.
Jedného dňa som stretol tú ženu mojich snov.
And I remember after getting married thinking this should be easy to give up.
A pamätám si na to, ako som sa oženil a hovoril som si, a teraz to bude ľahké, vzdám sa toho, ide to preč.
But the truth was it couldn't have been anything further from that.
Ale pravda bola od toho veľmi vzdialená.
I want to come back and share with you a little bit more about, again, those things that the porn industry doesn't want you to know about how their product works.
A chcem sa vrátiť k tomu, čo som začal, a to sú tie veci, ktoré porno priemysel vám nechce povedať vtedy, keď vás pozýva, vtedy, keď vás láka na svoje produkty.
Something I wasn't able to start really learning about until long after I left college.
Jedna z vecí, ktorú som sa nenaučil až dlho potom, ako som odišiel zo školy.
But first, let's take a look at this next video, and I'm going to introduce a new term to you called sex syndrome.
Ale predtým si pozrime toto video a chcem vám predstaviť nový termín, ktorý sa volá sexuálny syndrom.
Which will start to explain a little bit more about what I'm talking about.
A to nám trošku vysvetlí trošku viac to, o čom začínam hovoriť.
So, let's take a look.
Takže nech sa páči, pozrite sa.
Back when there were only three or four channels to choose from, you could just, you know, show your product or tell a funny joke or something and you'd be remembered or people would watch your TV show or your movie or whatever. But there's so much competition now with so many different channels that advertisers and entertainers are clawing and scratching for attention and they're competing and they're saying, hey, why should we spend millions on these special effects over here or for some clever routine? When all they really have to do is flash some flesh, and they just kind of keep coming back to sex because sex just plain works for them.
I think that everything that we see on TV and in the movies creates a perception for us of what life should be like, and, you know, I think everyone desires to be loved, and the way that Hollywood sells love is a huge distortion from what the reality of love is.
It's a really big facade. It's everything that appears the way it appears, it's really not.
Nowadays, it's normal to be exposed to hours and hours of sexual content every week. And people become what they watch. People become what they see. That's how the media works. That's why advertisers pay $50 billion a year.
All the magazines, the encounters that I had, the relationships that I had, the movies that I'd watch, the movies that I'd rent, the things that I'd buy.
But over time, the culture begins to reflect the things that they see, whether they mean to or not.
It started out with real simple stuff, and when you never really see it building unless you're looking for it.
It pushes us to think that having lots of sex is reality, and that if you're not having sex, you're not living, you're not really living, and you might not even be normal.
I bet I probably went on 60 dates in a 45-day period, and it was just that need.
I didn't realize it was a problem. I never would have considered it a problem.
Little did I would know that this would turn into actually escorting, and I saw myself doing that, and I thought to myself, I just could not come to terms with. You're talking about a shot on the ground. I felt like I was, you know, no bigger than this, because I felt like I've just completely just, you know, given up my complete myself.
It became larger, and it consumed a larger part of my life, and it was a lie. It's all a lie.
I believe the world tells them, gives them the distortion or the lie that if they can conquer a woman, they're going to be a real man. They're going to feel adequate, and that's the definition of masculinity or being adequate. While at the same time, I believe women or females are given a constant message as they grow up that they have to give their bodies in order to get love.
Something triggered that was the way that I would get a man to love me. And it was kind of the trump card, so to speak.
That, of course, feeds into all kinds of things for young girls. You know, there's a certain look, a certain body shape, a certain outfit, makeup, hair. I mean, everything goes with that package, because they have to present their package, in a sense, to get love. And so they give their bodies in order to get love, while men or males feed into that and feel they have to conquer a woman in order to feel adequate. And so while women are looking for security, men are looking for adequacy.
It started out as an emotional need. It moved into a physical need. It, you know, at some point even turned into a game for me.
It was such an experience that I never thought I would ever go through.
The grim reality was I wanted to stop, and I could stop for a little while.
They see all these images on TV and movies and whatnot, and this is how they're supposed to be, and this is how you're supposed to look, and this is what fat is, and this is what skinny is, and this is what beautiful is, and this is what ugly is.
Sexual addiction is not really the problem that should be concerning us, although it is a serious concern. But the bigger concern is this other just huge group of people who are slowly becoming sexualized by the culture to the point of sex syndrome. And this compulsivity that they have that will begin to act out in their lives. And we're already seeing the results of it all around us. But for every person that reaches a full-blown addiction, there are 1,000 Kobe Bryants and Bill Clintons who do things in the name of sex that they later come to regret. Or maybe if they don't regret it, certainly lots of people in their lives or in their path, in their wake, regret it. I've become so numb. I can't feel you.
I remember after getting into my first year of marriage.
Pamätám si na to ako prvý rok môjho manželstva.
What a shock it was to feel like I wanted to go back to using porn again.
Bolo to pre mňa šokom, že znovu a znovu som mal chuť vrátiť sa k pornu.
I mean, I continued to use the material, but I did it secretly.
A tak som pokračoval v tom, že som pozeral niektoré pornografické veci, hoci som to robil tajne.
Because I was pretty sure that my wife wasn't really going to be very happy with the idea of me using porn.
Lebo som si bol celkom istý, že moja manželka by sa veľmi nepotešila, keby zistila, že používam porno.
But actually, I really thought that I wasn't going to need to use it anymore. I figured that she would just meet all of my needs.
A bol som z toho prekvapený, lebo som si naozaj myslel, že keď sa ožením, tak nebudem mať ani chuť na porno, lebo moja manželka naplní všetky moje potreby.
But here's what I wasn't counting on.
ale nerátal som s týmto.
See, now I was in a relationship with a real person.
Teraz som bol vo vzťahu so skutočným človekom.
So although I'd been in a relationship with pornography for 15 years by then.
A tak napriek tomu, že som predtým mal nejaké pornografické väzby už 15 rokov.
Porn made no demands of me, really.
Porno odo mňa nič nechcelo, žiadne záväzky.
But here was a woman with real needs.
Ale tuto zrazu bola žena, mala skutočné potreby.
She had real emotions.
Mala skutočné emócie.
She had good days and bad days.
Mala dobré dni a zlé dni.
And the tension of dealing with a real relationship was something I wasn't used to.
A to napätie, že som musel jednať so skutočným vzťahom, bolo niečo, na čo som vôbec nebol zvyknutý.
So instead of being honest with her and dealing with the issues and the problems that would come up,
a tak namiesto toho, aby som bol úprimný ku nej a jednal s tými záležitosťami, ktoré bežne prichádzali,
I acted like that little 11-year-old kid who is running off to his great escape.
Som sa správal ako ten malý 11-ročný chlapec, ktorý utekal do svojej skrýše.
And it started to create this distance between my wife and I.
A to začalo vytvárať takú priepas medzi mnou a mojou manželkou.
It started to create some problems in our intimacy with each other.
Začalo to vytvárať niektoré problémy v našom intimnom živote.
And eventually it actually started to affect our even our sex life.
A nakoniec to začalo mať zlý dopad na náš sexuálny život.
And over time as our marriage went on, we started having children.
A potom ako naše manželstvo išlo ďalej, mali sme deti.
And I got different jobs that added more stress and more pressure on our relationship.
Som sa zamestnal v nových zamestnaniach a to pridalo viac stresu do nášho vzťahu.
And I continued to use porn more and more in secret.
A tak som v tajnosti viac a viac si užíval porno.
And then somewhere in the early 90s,
a potom niekedy začiatkom 90. rokov,
this thing called internet pornography came along.
A prišlo niečo, čo poznáme ako internetovú pornografiu.
Now see, I happen to work in the technology industry.
A ja som zhodou okolností pracoval v oblasti technológií, v IT.
Which was a great place to work to make a living, but not so great in terms of having an issue with pornography.
A bolo to dobré miesto na zarobenie sympatických peňazí, ale nebolo to až tak dobré miesto v súvislosti s možnosťou vystavenia sa pornografii.
And now all of a sudden the material was so easy to get access to.
Zrazu tento materiál bol tak ľahko dostupný.
And I was like an early adopter of all the new technology that was coming out with pornography.
A ja som bol jeden z tých prvých, ktorý vždy adaptoval tie nové technológie a nové možnosti toho, ako prísť k pornu.
So I was using internet porn before most people even knew what the internet was.
Takže ja som používal internetovú pornografiu oveľa skôr, ako väčšina ľudí poznala vôbec internet.
When that happened, I guess a theme started to take hold in my life.
A keď sa toto udialo, tak vtedy niekedy nastala skutočná otázka v mojom živote.
I simply put it this way, what you feed grows and what you starve dies.
Zhruba by som povedal, že to bolo o tomto. To, čo krmíte, rastie a to, čo hladuje, odumiera.
As I was able to get this unlimited access to this all these different categories of material.
Keďže som zrazu mal neobmedzený prístup k všetkým kategóriám tohoto materiálu.
More and more arousing material that I could see that I never even knew existed before.
Mohol som sa dostať k veciam, ktoré boli viac a viac vzrušujúce, veci, ktoré som ani nevedel predtým, že vôbec existujú.
I continued to feed my habit of porn.
A tak som krmil tento svoj návyk pornografie.
And as I was doing that, I was actually starving the only real relationships in my life.
A ako som robil toto, zároveň moje ostatné vzťahy v živote trpeli.
Of course, that being my relationship with my wife and then with my boys.
A samozrejme, myslím tým na môj vzťah k mojej manželke a takisto na môj vzťah k mojim synom.
After being married for about 13 years, eventually even pornography wasn't enough for me.
A po 13 rokoch manželstva už to nakoniec nebola len pornografia, čo by ma uspokojilo.
And one day a woman came into my place of business who just was like the image of the perfect porn woman that I'd had in my head.
Jedného dňa v mojej práci prišla jedna žena, ktorá sa veľmi podobala tomu obrazu porno ženy, ktorý som hľadal a ktorý som často pozeral.
And she started making advances on me and I started responding to those.
A ona ma začala zvádzať a ja som reagoval na tieto výzvy.
And before I knew it, I was into an affair with another woman.
A skôr ako som si čokoľvek uvedomil, som zahol svojej manželke s inou ženou.
Yeah, something that I'd never ever dreamed that I would ever be involved in.
Niečo, čo som si nikdy nemyslel, že by sa mohlo stať mne.
As I made this poor choice in my life.
A potom ako som urobil toto veľmi hlúpe rozhodnutie v mojom živote.
It really wasn't an isolated event, it was just an escalation of my use of porn.
To nebola len izolovaná skúsenosť, niečo, čo sa náhodou stalo, ale bolo to vyeskalované napätie toho, čo som budoval.
You see, for 25 years in my life, I had grown up learning to objectify and sexualize women.
25 rokov svojho života som sa naučil zobjektivizovávať vyzývavosť cudzej ženskej sexuality.
And so as I did that, I was just viewing this woman as porn with skin on.
A ako som toto robil, tak som sa pozeral aj na túto ženu ako na pornografický materiál obťahnutý kožou.
And being in an affair with her was like a 24/7 high.
A uhnúť s ňou bolo prosto niečo, čo som len tak urobil, len som si odskočil.
My wife kind of found out about 2.5 months into the affair.
A po 2.5 mesiacoch tohoto mimomanželského vzťahu na to moja manželka prišla.
But by then I had become totally addicted to this relationship.
Ale v tom čase som už bol úplne závislý na tomto sexuálnom vzťahu.
Eventually my wife suffered greatly as did my children.
A nakoniec moja manželka veľmi vážne trpela, rovnako ako moje deti.
Because of my selfishness and my obsession with this relationship.
A to kvôli môjmu egoizmu a kvôli môjmu posadnutiu v tomto vzťahu.
My wife responded like a lot of women do in that situation.
A moja manželka zareagovala tak, ako mnoho žien zareaguje v tejto situácii.
She started to blame herself.
Začala obviňovať sama sebu.
Thinking that maybe she wasn't woman enough or she wasn't sexy enough or she wasn't intimate enough with me.
A myslela si, že nebola dostatočne ženská, nebola dostatočne sexuálne príťažlivá.
And one time even considered committing suicide because of the failure that she felt in our marriage.
V jednom momente dokonca rozmýšľala nad tým, že spácha samovraždu, lebo to cítila tak, že zlyhala v tom našom manželstve.
By the time our two boys who were 10 and 2 at the time,
v tom čase naši synovia, ktorí mali 10 a 2 roky,
started getting in trouble at school, fighting with other kids and
začali mať problémy v škole, bili sa s ostatnými deťmi.
Just misbehaving, they were responding and reacting to a home that was chaotic.
Začali mať neprirodzené zlé správanie, bola to reakcia odraz toho, čo zažívali v nefunkčnej domácnosti.
So eventually my wife and I 15 years looked at each other and realized that it was time to call it quits.
A tak po 15 rokoch manželstva sme sa pozreli na seba s manželkou a povedali sme, je čas to skončiť.
She didn't want to, but I had no desire of turning away from my behavior.
Ona to ani nechcela, ale ja som nebol schopný, nemal chuť zmeniť svoje správanie.
So after 15 years of marriage, we got a divorce.
A tak po 15 rokoch manželstva sme sa rozviedli.
It wasn't until about a year later that I actually hit rock bottom.
Asi o rok neskôr som konečne dopadol na svoje dno.
Hitting bottom for me was on the one hand realizing the woman that I had become obsessed with was seen and sleeping with about 5 other guys who were married and had kids.
Tá prvá vec, ktorá ma dostala na moje dno, bolo zistenie, že žena, s ktorou som mal sexuálny vzťah, okrem mňa mala ďalších 5 ženatých mužov, s ktorými spávala.
And I don't say that to blame her, I simply say that I got exactly what I was looking for.
A ja to nehovorím, pretože by som ju nejako chcel obviňovať. Myslím si, že len chcem povedať, že dostal som to, čo som si zaslúžil, to, o čo som si pýtal.
And then I also came to the realization that my now ex-wife had moved on and met someone else.
A takisto som zistil, že moja ex-manželka v tom momente išla so svojím životom ďalej a stretla niekoho iného.
And suddenly I realized that I had lost everything. I'd lost my 15-year marriage.
A ja som si zrazu uvedomil, že som stratil všetko. Stratil som svoje 15-ročné manželstvo.
My two kids.
Stratil som svoje 2 deti.
business partnership with my brother.
Stratil som svoje obchodné partnerstvo s mojim bratom.
All my friendships and family relationships.
Všetky moje priateľstvá a všetky moje rodinné zväzky.
And it didn't make sense to me because it seemed like it was all over this totally harmless thing called pornography and how I have become obsessed with sex.
A nezdalo sa mi to, nedávalo mi to zmysel, zdalo sa mi, že prečo toto všetko by sa malo stať kvôli tej nezmyselnej, nepodstatnej maličkosti zvanej pornografia.
And yet I knew I couldn't blame this on porn because it didn't do it to me, but I had made some very bad decisions along the way.
A na druhej strane som nebol naivný a vedel som, že nemôžem z toho obviňovať pornografiu, ale že to bolo o tom, že na tej ceste som urobil niektoré zlé rozhodnutia.
So I just woke up one day and it just kind of hit me. It's like, how did I get here?
A jedného dňa som sa zobudil a jednoducho som si položil otázku, ako som sa sem mohol dostať.
I figured myself a pretty smart guy, college educated, had a very successful business career.
Ja som sa považoval za inteligentného, šikovného muža. Skončil som dobre školu, mal som dobrú pracovnú podnikateľskú kariéru.
But somehow something went very wrong.
Avšak napriek tomu niečo nevyšlo vo veľkom štýle.
I want to show you this next video. It's called Death by Sex Syndrome.
A chcem vám ukázať to ďalšie video, ktoré sa volá Smrť zo sex syndromu.
And then when I come back, I want to share with you two very important things that I've learned in the 10 years since that I've been in recovery.
A potom v filme sa chcem vrátiť a chcem vám povedať o veciach, ktoré som sa naučil počas tých 10 rokov, ako som sa sexuálne obnovoval.
Realizing that most of you in this room will never become addicted to pornography or sexually addicted.
A to hovorím s vedomím, že väčšina z vás, ktorí tu sedíte, sa nikdy nestanete závislí v takejto miere na pornografii alebo sexe.
But these were two things that I never knew about porn going into it.
Ale toto sú dve veci, ktoré som nikdy nevedel o porne vtedy, keď som do toho pomaly vchádzal.
And about relationships in general that now that I know have helped me on the path of recovery.
A všeobecne o vzťahoch, čo mi teraz pomáha, keď to viem a ako sa snažím v tomto procese obnoviť svoj život.
So let's take a look.
Takže pozrime sa na to.
Anytime you talk about a compulsive behavior, what's happened is an individual has sort of they've sort of funneled down most of their needs in their life to being met through one source. And that can be through spending money, it can be through food, it can be through alcohol, and certainly can be through sex. So what happens is along that continuum they have found that they can almost replace or counterfeit most of their needs in one behavior. And then it becomes a compulsive draw, and it's overpowering because without that thing, all needs feel unmet. I sometimes use the analogy with people. It's sort of like Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. It becomes the ring, the thing they focus on, and they sort of that's all they think about, and it begins to change them from the inside out.
The more that the media resorts to sex, the more that people are trained to expect it. So the average person is, let's say, unsuspecting. They're just watching TV or whatever. And gradually their preoccupation with sex is climbing higher and higher.
When I see certain sexual images, I get used to those sexual images. And I begin to desire something that's a little more stimulating. And so I want something that's a bit more erotic. And then as I get used to those images, then I want something that's a little bit more stimulating. And so I may look for something that's interactive in nature. And before you know it, I'm involved in things that I never would have begun to be involved with in the first place.
As we have more and more sensuality in the culture, what's happening is the girls are starting to become aggressors. They're starting to change the way they look at sex. They're starting to see it more as tied tightly into part of relationship that you need that early in order to get that kind of intimacy that they're looking for. And, you know, they're longing for a relationship too. They're no different from guys. They want authentic relationships. But they've been duped by the culture now into thinking that sexuality means intimacy.
And so while she is giving her body, she's feeling more insecure. And he's feeling more inadequate. And so that's where the lie comes out, is because they're both seeking something that actually they're getting the opposite.
The desire, the need for intimacy, we all have that need and that desire to feel loved, but it's not going to come through the party scene. It's not going to come through sex.
One of the studies that I found very interesting is that human anthropologists, when they look at the way we relate to each other, they say that there is a normal, natural progression towards deep intimacy. And at first it starts, you know, with, you know, eye-to-eye contact, and then, you know, holding hands, and then, you know, arm around the shoulder. And then as you progress naturally through these intimate levels deeper and deeper, you need to take them in order to get to that authentic relationship. And of course, the last thing in that order would be sexual intercourse. But the thing is, we've turned that upside down. A lot of times, we'll meet a girl in a bar or something, we'll go, you know, it's the first time we've ever seen her, we're looking for love, she's looking for love, and the first thing we'll do is we'll jump into bed. And what that does almost immediately is short-circuit the ability to form an authentic relationship.
That's kind of, it's the catch-22, and that's the consequence that I'm dealing with now, because what you do currently will affect your future forever. It will affect your ability to have intimacy with other people. It will affect your self-esteem and your ability to feel worthy or acceptable to another person.
People just weren't made to function. Society doesn't function right if one part of life gets so out of balance from the rest of life. You just can't turn up the sex dial indefinitely without some serious consequences in the other areas of life.
Whenever someone is using pornography, they are saying to themselves, What I'm doing with this woman, this image of this woman, whether it's in pixels or you know, in some sort of printed form, is for my purposes, and it sexualizes a relationship and makes it only about sex.
Really what it is it's a counterfeit. It's counterfeit. It's something that says, I have a high, and I want to get a high because I'm low, and I want to get a high, and so it's like, let me open this magazine, and I'm going to get my high, I'm going to get my fix. And the reality is you just keep going back to it. It's just like alcohol or drugs or anything else.
What starts happening is you train yourself over a 3 to 5 year period to have your needs met instantaneously. And as a result of that, we set ourselves up for failure in relationship. Now here's what happens there. Let's suppose that I get in a relationship with somebody after 3 to 5 years of compulsive sexual behavior, including pornography and masturbation, those sort of victimless crimes, to hear some people talk about it. Well, what happens is I get in this relationship with someone, and I expect that my sexual needs are going to be met in the same sort of instantaneous way whenever I expect them to be met, and I'm going to find out pretty quickly they're not met that way. Well, when they don't get met, how am I going to respond? Probably what I'm going to do is to go back to my old way of meeting my needs, and you see the compulsive cycle that that begins at that point.
Quite frankly, over time, it just became, you know, how can I get to the material? How can I get the high? How can I get the buzz in ways where I'm not going to be discovered? And so cable TV and, you know, some of the stuff that came on TV, I started to spend more time really drinking in the images there. And I realized that I had given my life over to this. And even knowing what it could cost me.
Now I will tell you what I've done for you.
Then I couldn't stop.
50,000 tears I've cried. Screaming, deceiving, and bleeding.
After a 30-year relationship with pornography, the last 5 years of which I was addicted to the material.
počas 30 rokov závislosti na pornografii, tých posledných 5 rokov tej závislosti.
And had become sexually addicted and involved in relationships with others.
Som sa stal sexuálne závislý na tom aj na ďalších vzťahoch s inými.
I hit bottom.
A dorazil som na dno.
Hitting bottom for me meant I also became suicidal.
To, že som dorazil na svoje dno, znamenalo okrem iného, že som mal samovražedné myšlienky.
And the reason was because even though I was educated,
a ten dôvod bol jednoduchý, napriek tomu, že som bol vzdelaný.
And that I had been successful and had a wonderful family.
Napriek tomu, že som bol úspešný a mal som dobrú, peknú, usporiadanú rodinu.
That my life had become unmanageable and I had lost control of this.
Môj život bol ďalej nezvládnutelný a vymklo sa mi to spod rúk.
What used to be kind of a favorite pastime of mine was now something that spun my life out of control.
Niečo, čo bola príjemná skúsenosť minulosti, sa nakoniec stalo tým, čo obrátilo môj život na ruby.
And I realized that I needed help.
A ja som si uvedomil, že potrebujem pomoc.
So I did what alcoholics and people who are drug addicted do.
A tak som urobil to, čo alkoholici a ľudia závislí na drogách robia.
Maybe I had a different drug of choice, but recovery looked the same for me.
A napriek tomu, že som si vyberal inú drogu, ten proces znovu obnovenia bol veľmi podobný.
And I got involved in counseling and started going to recovery groups.
Začal som chodiť na poradenstvo a takisto na také skupinky obnovenia.
Now, going through detox was pretty hard, as available as the material is.
Ten detoxikačný proces bol veľmi náročný vzhľadom na to, že ten materiál je k dispozícii a ľahko dostupný.
For instance, I cut the cable on my TV just before football season. It's really a hard thing to do.
Napríklad tesne pred futbalovou sezónou som zrušil kablovku, je to naozaj ťažké rozhodnutie.
I also had to get rid of the internet from my home for a time just to get away from the material.
A na nejaký čas som takisto potreboval odpojiť internet z domu, len aby som nemal prístup k tomu.
And as I started going through this physical recovery, I started learning things that I didn't know were true about pornography.
A ako som začal prechádzať touto fyzickou rehabilitáciou, tak som sa naučil niektoré veci, ktoré som predtým o pornografii nevedel.
One of the things, of course, is that no one is born a porn addict.
Jedna z nich, samozrejme, celkom jednoznačná je, že nikto sa nenarodí ako pornomaniak.
That happens over time, and that's why I introduced this term called sex syndrome.
A to je niečo, čo sa deje postupne, práve preto som vám predstavil ten termín sex syndrom.
Because one of the things that we've learned in research on the brain, the biggest and most powerful sex organ in our bodies.
Pretože jedna z vecí, ktorú sme sa naučili o našom mozgu, ktorý mimochodom je tým najväčším sexuálnym orgánom nášho tela,
is that there are different chemicals and actually neurotransmitters in the brain that play a very important role here.
Zistili sme, že sú veľmi dôležité neurotransmitre a chemické reakcie alebo látky, ktoré spôsobujú tieto reakcie.
And actually one of those is called dopamine.
Jeden z nich sa volá dopamín.
You may have heard of it. It's a chemical that we produce in our brains whenever we're sexually aroused or excited.
Je to chemická látka, ktorú vyprodukuje náš mozog kedykoľvek, keď sme sexuálne vzrušení.
We also produce it at the early stages of a new relationship.
Je to niečo, čo produkuje náš mozog aj v ranných fázach našich vzťahov.
You know, you look across the room, he looks at her, she looks at him.
Viete, ako to je? Pozrite sa na druhú stranu miestnosti, ona sa pozrie na vás, vy sa pozriete na ňu.
Yeah, she's thinking of her first name with his last name. And
ona rozmýšľa, aké je jeho prvé meno a aké mám priezvisko.
I don't think I need to mention what he's thinking of. So.
A myslím, že nemusím hovoriť, na čo myslí on vtedy.
But actually, this is a very normal, natural process that we go through.
Toto je veľmi normálny proces, ktorým prechádzame.
There are other hormones that get produced later on in relationship.
Sú ďalšie hormóny, ktoré sa produkujú neskôr v tom našom vzťahu.
One of those is called oxytocin.
A jeden z nich sa volá oxytocín.
Actually, women produce this when they're nursing their young.
Je to hormón, ktorý produkujú ženy vtedy, keď koja svoje deti.
Or parents or grandparents when they're having healthy touch with their children or grandchildren.
Alebo rodičia či starí rodičia produkujú tento hormón, keď majú zdravý vzťah, zdravý dotyk so svojimi deťmi alebo vnúčatami.
Yeah, it promotes a feeling of wellness and connection and just deep love.
A je to hormón, ktorý vyprodukuje taký pocit, taký dobrý pocit, pocit hlbokej lásky, pocit uspokojenia.
And so all these different things are happening through a normal relationship process.
Všetky tieto veci sa dejú v normálnom vzťahu, v procese normálneho vzťahu.
But as I continued going back to using pornography,
ale ako ja som išiel a znovu som sa vracal k pornografii,
I kept producing dopamine over and over again in my brain.
Ja som produkoval novú dávku dopamínu vo svojom mozgu,
which is the same brain chemical that's produced when you take cocaine or
to je tá istá chemická látka, ktorá sa produkuje v mozgu napríklad vtedy, keď beriete kokain
and or other drugs,
alebo iné drogy.
And so as I continued to produce dopamine, I was building up a tolerance to it.
A ako som teda produkoval viac a viac toho dopamínu, tak som zároveň zvyšoval tú latku tolerancie voči nemu.
I'm sure you've heard this as an addict story where the what used to do it for them doesn't do it for them anymore.
A myslím si, že ste to počuli veľakrát v súvislosti s príbehmi závislosti, to čo stačilo včera už nestačí dnes.
So they either start using more amounts of the same drug or they start using something that's more stimulating.
A preto buď začnete užívať väčšiu dávku drogy, alebo začnete používať niečo, čo je viac stimulujúce.
Well, I was doing the same thing with pornography, except I was just getting high on my own dopamine production.
A ja som robil to isté vo svojej závislosti na pornografii, avšak robil som to tak, že som zvyšoval tú svoju dávku dopamínu.
And what that did over time is that it actually reduced my capacity to be able to experience real intimacy.
A to, čo to robilo v priebehu času, je, že to zároveň znižovalo moju kapacitu rozvíjať skutočný, intimný, hlboký vzťah.
In other words, it also hurt my sex life.
Inými slovami povedané, malo to nakoniec dopad aj na môj sexuálny život.
As it started to affect my ability to be able to experience sexual pleasure with the real person.
Nakoniec to spôsobovalo to, že som strácal výkonnosť a schopnosť zažiť sexuálne naplnenie so skutočným reálnym človekom.
This is an addictive quality of internet porn, which is the reason why we call internet porn the crack cocaine of sexual addiction.
Preto toto je teda výsledok internetovej pornografie a preto internetovú pornografiu nazývame hrubozrnným kokainom v tej oblasti pornografie.
But that was just a little something that I discovered about how I responded physically to the material that I didn't expect.
A to bola len tá jedna oblasť, ktorú som zistil, ako som fyzicky reagoval na ten materiál, ktorý som mal k dispozícii, ktorý som používal.
There was another deeper, more psychological effect that was impacting me.
Okrem toho však bol oveľa hlbší psychologický efekt, ktorý mal dopad na môj život.
We've learned in studying addicts of all different types.
My sme sa naučili tým, že sme študovali rôzne typy závislosti,
that all addicts share one thing in common.
Že je jedna spoločná vec pre všetky typy závislosti.
And that's we share a faulty belief system.
A to je to, že máme falošné presvedčenie alebo zlé uistenie o niečom.
In other words, we just believe certain things to be true and act on those that just aren't true.
Inými slovami, veríme, že niečo je pravda a konáme podľa toho, hoci to pravda nie je.
I'll give you an example of one of those. You heard me describe as an 11-year-old hiding the fact that I was viewing pornography.
Uvediem príklad, počuli ste ten môj príbeh ako 11-ročný, keď som prvýkrát bol vystavený pornografickému materiálu a potom som sa schovával, keď som to znovu a znovu robil.
A faulty belief common to all sex addicts is that we believe that if anyone ever knew everything about us, that they wouldn't love us.
Jedno z tých falošných presvedčení je, že keby niekto sa dozvedel celú tú pravdu o nás, tak by nás nemali radi.
In other words, they wouldn't accept us and we would be left all alone, one of our greatest fears.
A teda inými slovami, že by sme neboli prijatí a boli by sme opustení sami so svojím tým svetom obav.
There was another belief that's very common to all sex addicts, and that is the idea that sex is my most important need.
Ďalšie zlé presvedčenie v súvislosti so sexuálnou závislosťou je presvedčenie, že sexuálna potreba je najväčšia potreba môjho života.
In essence, we start equating sex with love.
A istým spôsobom začíname zrovnávať alebo dať do rovnakej polohy sex a lásku.
Now, of course, those things aren't true, but for me at the time I was acting as if it was my truth.
A samozrejme toto nie je pravda, ale ja v tom, ako som sa do toho dostával, som konal tak, ako keby to pravda bola.
And the only way to be able to get healthy and overcome that is to identify it as a lie and replace it with real truth.
A jediný spôsob, ako som sa mohol uzdraviť, bolo identifikovať tieto veci ako nepravdivé a vyliečiť sa z nich.
For instance, I learned through recovery group meetings that if I was with safe people, that I could share all of who I was.
Napríklad jedna z vecí, ktorú som sa naučil v tých rehabilitačných skupinkách, bolo, že ak som s ľuďmi, ktorým môžem dôverovať, tak môžem im povedať všetko o tom, kto som, aký som.
And they wouldn't necessarily leave me or abandon me. If anything, it drew us closer in relationship.
A to neznamená, že oni sa vykašľú na mňa, ale opak, veľmi často nás to spojilo do bližšieho vzťahu.
As we built this bond of trust and respect.
Ako sme si vybudovali tento vzťah vzájomnej úcty a vzájomného takého zblíženia sa.
Now, the other one, the idea that sex is my most important need,
was a druhá vec, že sex je tá najdôležitejšia potreba, ktorú mám.
That was a little harder to figure out. Okay, if it's not sex, and I certainly knew it wasn't.
Bolo to trošku ťažšie, pretože ak to nie je sex, a ja som vedel, že moja najväčšia potreba nie je sex.
You know, I had found other healthier ways to be able to deal with my stress and all.
Potreboval som nájsť ďalšie zdravé spôsoby, ako jednať so svojím sexom.
But I wasn't sure, okay, then what is my greatest need?
A potom som si musel položiť otázku, dobre, ak to nie je sex, tak čo je moja najväčšia potreba?
And I actually learned what my greatest need was.
A ja som sa naučil, čo je moja najväčšia potreba.
Sitting in a jacuzzi in Baton Rouge, Louisiana with Ron Jeremy.
Posedieť si v jacuzzi v Louisiane s Ronom Jeremym.
How many of you know who Ron Jeremy is?
Koľko poznáte, koľko viete, kto je Ron Jeremy?
Not too many.
Nie,
oh, he'll be sad to hear that. Ron Jeremy he's kind of the poster child for the porn industry, if you will.
Ron Jeremy je protagonista pornopriemyslu, ak to tak môžem povedať.
He's been in about 1700 porn movies and claims to have slept with about 4500 women.
Je to muž, ktorý účinkoval asi v 1700 pornofilmoch a hovorí, že spal približne so 450 ženami.
And I actually travel around throughout the country, throughout the United States and Canada doing these porn debates on college campuses with him.
A ja veľmi často cestujem po Spojených štátoch a v Kanade a robíme také porno diskusie aj s ním.
And so it was sitting in a jacuzzi that I discovered what my greatest need was.
A ako som sedel s ním v jacuzzi, tak tam som zistil, čo je moja najväčšia potreba.
So I want to share that story with you as a close to my presentation.
Takže ja vám porozprávam ten príbeh na konci tej mojej prezentácie.
But because it involves some spiritual matters and we did have a conversation about spiritual things.
Ale keďže to bude zahrnať aj niektoré duchovné oblasti, my sme s ním rozprávali o niektorých duchovných aspektoch.
I realize that maybe not all of you had come expecting that or wanting to even hear that.
Ja si uvedomujem, že nie všetci ste možno prišli s tým, že chcete počuť takéto veci, duchovné veci.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a brief 4-minute break.
Takže to, čo chceme teraz spraviť, je, že budeme mať krátku 4-minútovú prestávku.
You can actually see a countdown clock again and we're going to play some music.
Opäť budete vidieť odpočítavanie, bude znieť hudba.
And then the last video will play before I come back up to close out with my story.
A potom premietneme posledné video pred tým, ako prídem a ukončím ten svoj príbeh.
And I hope you all stick around for that. You can get up and stretch, maybe take a cigarette break or go to the bathroom, whatever you need to do.
A tak ja dúfam, že na neho ostanete, ak sa potrebujete vystrieť alebo zbehnúť na toaletu. Samozrejme, nech sa páči, urobte to.
But it is an entertaining story and I promise it's true and not judgmental or condemning.
A je to naozaj pravdivý príbeh a ja ho poviem autenticky pravdivo, nie posudzovačným spôsobom.
So we'll see you back here in a few minutes.
Takže za niekoľko minút sa vidíme.
sex is something that is beautiful and wonderful and it is fun and it does feel good, but it's so powerful and it's created by God, who said these are the boundaries that it must stay within. And it's just like anything incredibly powerful. If you take it outside of those boundaries, it's going to destroy.
Sex becomes a religious or spiritual issue because God did create it, and he created it with boundaries.
The number one reason people come to professionals like me is relationship problems. Well, sex is a part of relationships. And what we're finding is that people are not understanding the impact of not respecting that very powerful part of the relationship. So when they become casual with sex, then there's going to be an ultimate breakdown in the relationship.
I wasn't a religious person. Through college, I just completely didn't recognize that there was a God. Live for myself. I already shared the lifestyle, the destruction, the destructive lifestyle that I was living, and I was very fortunate to meet someone that introduced me to Jesus Christ, and through him, I was freed from my addiction. I was freed from the guilt and the shame of that lifestyle. And through him, I found complete happiness and that fulfillment that I so desperately desired to have.
I believe that there is a connection between sexuality and spirituality. I realize some people don't believe that and want to disconnect the two. But I think what I would say about that is we're really talking about intimacy. In a healthy relationship, sexuality is an expression and experience of true intimacy. I think spirituality is ultimate intimacy, and intimacy with our Maker. And I think, yes, they are connected in many ways.
But I think the message that society keeps proclaiming is, as long as, you know, you can prevent the physical consequences, you're fine. But nobody's talking to them about the emotional, mental, spiritual consequences, as well as the fact that no one is explaining to them why it's wrong. They're just saying, well, God says it's wrong, and the Bible says it's wrong, and you just need to have some boundaries, and you need to, you know, protect yourself and not go too far. But the problem is they're not explaining why is it wrong, and what is it doing to you, and what is it going to do to your marriage in the future or your other relationships.
I think every human being, and, you know, social scientists from way back talk about our ultimate quest for intimacy, our quest for connection, our quest for meaning, and our quest for purpose. I think that's a search spiritually, and I think sometimes people sexualize that search. They sexualize intimacy, and they sexualize that emptiness that they're trying to fill. And then it becomes a very powerful thing because it numbs that, it fills that temporarily, but it becomes a quest that is certainly a short-lived fulfillment.
Being on both sides of it, I can see that now. I can see that when I bought into the lie that the instant gratification and the sex outside of marriage was somehow or other going to give me those feelings of intimacy and those feelings of love that I so desperately desired, it was all a lie.
You do not have to find your worth through anything, anyone, or even any place, because I've went there, all three of those places, looking for unconditional acceptance. But only until I found him is where I got my true identity.
I can't take the credit for this. God has to come into it, because if it wasn't for that relationship, I wouldn't have been able to do this.
The hope is in finding out who you really are. And once you do, it's not the things that you told yourself. It's not I'm a bad person. It's not no one would ever love me if they really knew this about me. It's that I'm a beloved child of God, that he has a special plan for my life, and that he looks at me like a father looks at a son or a father looks at a daughter, and he doesn't want you to experience consequences. He doesn't want you to hurt. He doesn't want you to ever cry. But, you know, he's also not going to force his love on you. And that once you openly accept that, then he's got an incredible, incredible journey for you. And I got to say that the last couple years of my life have blown me away. I couldn't in a million years imagine the joy that I've gotten out of my life in these last couple years.
Well, I mean, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And the thing that I think people don't realize is they think that they get it mixed up with, like, religion, and they think that religion or Christianity is supposed to look a certain way. But really, the thing is I think of Jesus as, like, my friend. I mean, the person that he'll meet you exactly where you are. And, I mean, I wouldn't be able to be sitting here right now and talking to you. I mean, from where I came from and the way that I was, all the hope that I have and the peace and a joy that is very different than anything I've experienced before.
The beautiful thing about that is this inner peace in you, of this relationship with God, of just knowing that you're being what God created you to be.
It sounds weird to people that haven't experienced it, because, I mean, it's like you're saying you have an invisible friend, kind of, but he, you know, it really is, it's true, and he is real, and he does care, and he does forgive, and there is hope.
There's another world inside of me that you may never see. There's secrets in this life that I can't hide. Somewhere in this darkness there's a light that I can't find. Well, maybe it's too far away, yeah. Or maybe I'm just blind. Maybe I'm just blind.
You know, I remember hearing once a person tell me,
pamätám si na to, ako mi raz niekto povedal,
the most important thing about a person is what they think about when they think about God.
Najdôležitejšia vec na človeku je to, čo si myslí vtedy, keď myslí o Bohu.
Here's a case in point.
A tuto je pointa, ktorú chcem povedať.
A couple of years ago, Ron Jeremy and I were doing porn debates all over the country.
Pred niekoľkými rokmi sme s Ronom Jeremym robili tie pornodebaty po celej krajine.
Just like we still do to this day.
A robíme to spolu doteraz.
And we had a debate scheduled at LSU, Louisiana State University.
A boli naplánovaná jedna debata na Louisianskej štátnej univerzite.
In Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
V Louisiane.
Now, this should have been like any other debate that we've ever done, but there was something different about this.
A mala to byť jedna z tých ďalších bežných debat, tak ako sme ich dovtedy veľa urobili, avšak bola jedna vec, ktorá bola iná.
Because about 6 weeks before we got on campus, Hurricane Katrina hit the Gulf Coast of the U.S.
6 týždňov predtým, ako sme prišli na toto miesto, na túto debatu, tak hurikán Katrina zasiahol pobrežie.
And Baton Rouge sat far enough off the coast that they didn't suffer much damage.
A Baton Rouge bol dostatočne vzdialený na to, že tam nebola katastrofa a neboli nejako dramaticky zničení.
But because it was close to New Orleans and the coast, it became the center for the recovery effort.
Ale preto, lebo to bolo blízko New Orleans a takisto pobrežia, tak sa stali takým záchranným centrom, kde zvážali ľudí.
So as Ron and I came onto campus, we noticed medevac helicopters flying overhead.
A ako sme s Ronom prichádzali na ten internát do tej vysokej školy, tak sme si všimli, že veľa helikopter prelietalo ponad našimi hlavami.
And we knew that was flying dead bodies to a makeshift morgue that used to be the basketball arena.
A vedeli sme, že tieto helikoptéry prenášajú mŕtve tela, teda tela tých ľudí, ktorí zomreli na jednu športovú arenu.
You could just sense the presence of death all around you.
A ako ste tam boli, bola to veľmi hustá atmosféra, cítili ste smrť vo vzduchu doslova.
When we got to the lobby of the hotel we were staying at, we noticed a cameraman across the lobby.
Keď sme vošli do hotelu, v ktorom sme boli ubytovaní, všimli sme si, že dole v lobby bol jeden kameraman.
He worked for one of the networks and he was surrounded by all his camera equipment.
a pracoval pre jednu televíznu spoločnosť, bol obklopený všetkými tými nástrojmi okolo kamery.
So naturally we went straight to him because we wanted to know about what he'd seen.
A tak prirodzene sme zašli za ním a chceli sme sa popýtať na to, čo videl.
And as he started to talk about floating down the streets that were now flooded and all the dead bodies floating by.
A ako nám rozprával o tom, ako šiel tými ulicami, ktoré boli zaplavené, ako na tej vode sa plavili mŕtve tela.
He just described this scene of an overwhelming presence of death.
A popísal nám tú hrôzostrašnú scénu smrti, ktorá tam bola tak intenzívne prítomná.
And I remember looking over at Ron.
A pamätám si na to, ako som sa pritom pozeral na Rona.
And his face was just white as a sheet.
A jeho tvár bola biela ako kus papiera.
And it kind of surprised me and I was just about to say something.
A dosť som bol z toho prekvapený a práve som chcel niečo povedať.
And before he blurted out, oh, this whole subject of death and dying, I hate it. I hate the thought of dying.
Predtým, ako by som to však urobil, on mi skočil do reči, alebo skočil do toho, keď som otvoril ústa a hovorí, neznášam tieto reči o umieraní a o smrti.
He said, you know, I'll admit it, I'm scared to die. I'm afraid to die.
A hovorí, priznávam, bojím sa toho, že zomriem. Bojím sa smrti.
And when he said that, now I've been friends with him for several years by then.
A keď to povedal, ja som s ním priateľ už niekoľko rokov.
And I was just surprised and I was like, really?
A ja som bol taký prekvapený a pýtam sa ho, naozaj?
And he looks at me and he's like, yeah, what, you're not?
A on sa pozerá na mňa a hovorí, jasné, že áno, a ty nie?
And I was like, no.
A hovorím, nie.
And he's like, what? You're not afraid to die?
Čo, ty sa nebojíš zomrieť?
I'm like, no.
Nie.
And he's like, you mean you're not afraid of leaving this world and like all your friends, your family, your kids? That doesn't bother you?
Hovorí mi, ty sa nebojíš opustiť tento svet, zanechať tu všetkých priateľov, rodinu, to ťa netrapí?
I was like, no.
Hovorím, nie.
And he's like, I want to talk to you about that later on.
A hovorí, neskôr chcem o tom s tebou porozprávať.
So, you know, of course I didn't think he was ever going to bring it up again.
A samozrejme som si myslel, že týmto to skončilo a nikdy sa k tomu nevrátime.
And we went on that night and had the debate and it was a typical debate.
A v ten večer sme išli na tú debatu a bola to taká typická debata.
We had standing room only, about 2,000 students were there.
Boli sme tam vo veľkom auditoriu, mali sme asi 2,000 študentov.
They turned about 500 away at the door and
asi 500 ľudí sa otočilo.
Yeah, students were like tossing inflatable dolls and throwing condoms around the room. It was a typical debate.
A bola to typická debata, študenti hádzali kondomy po nás, prosto taká typický pohľad.
Yeah, it's good to see they were enjoying themselves.
Tešili sme sa, že sa tešia oni, pohoda.
And that next morning we got up and we met for breakfast.
Na druhé ráno sme sa stretli na raňajkách.
So I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I hear this, hey, Leahy, you bring a bathing suit?
A zrazu počujem, ako sa ma pýta, priniesol si plavky?
You know, and I've got a spoonful of powdered eggs in my mouth about choking on them.
A ja som práve jedol vajíčka, som ich ako prežúval.
Because all I'm thinking is, Ron Jeremy and I in bathing suits, this is not going well.
A hovorím si, to neznie ako dobrá predstava, Ron Jeremy a ja v plavkách. To neznie dobre.
So I said, yeah?
A ja hovorím, áno.
And he's like, "Well, listen, there's a jacuzzi out back. Let's go out there and hang out for a while because I want to talk to you about this whole death and dying thing."
A on mi hovorí, "Vieš čo, vonku je jacuzzi. Dajme si plavky a poďme si tam sadnúť a ja sa chcem s tebou porozprávať o tých záležitostiach života a smrti a zomierania."
So, I was like, "Okay."
A ja hovorím, "No, dobre."
So, we went to our separate rooms.
A tak sme išli každý do svojej izby.
And got our bathing suits on.
Prezliekli sme sa do plaviek.
And came back down to the jacuzzi and we just kind of hung out there for a couple of hours.
A zišli sme dole do toho jacuzzi a posedeli sme tam niekoľko hodín.
And you know, we talked about all kinds of things like what do you think happens to your body when you die?
A tak sme sa rozprávali rôzne veci, kladli sme si otázku, čo si myslíš, čo sa stane s tvojim telom potom ako zomrieš?
You know, and what about God and you know, what about heaven and hell and all those things?
A čo nebo a peklo a všetky tie veci?
It wasn't the first time that Ron and I have ever talked about spiritual things.
A nebola to prvá príležitosť, keď som s Ronom hovoril o duchovných veciach.
But I could tell that this time he was acting different.
Ale vedel som, že teraz je na tej diskusii niečo iné, že sa správa inak.
You know, there was something that was bothering him.
Bolo niečo, čo ho trápilo.
So I finally said, "Listen, Ron."
A ja mu nakoniec hovorím, Ron, počúvaj.
If there is a heaven,
ak je nebo,
and if there is a hell,
a ak je peklo,
and if people really go there,
ak ľudia tam naozaj idú,
where do you think you'd go?
Čo si myslíš, kam pôjdeš ty?
And he thought for about a half a second and said, that would be hell.
A on na tak po sekundy rozmýšľal a povedal, no asi peklo.
And we kind of had a nervous chuckle like that.
Mali sme taký nervózny čas chvíľu.
And I'm sure if we changed the subject or he changed the subject, we went on talking about something else.
A on zmenil tému a začali sme rozprávať o niečom inom.
But I got to be honest with you. After thinking about that sometime later.
Ale musím byť úprimný, že potom ako som na to myslel o nejaký čas,
you know, it really started bothering me.
Začalo ma to trápiť.
It bothered me because I feel like I know where that response was coming from.
Začalo ma to trápiť, lebo myslím si, že viem, odkiaľ tá reakcia prišla.
And you know, I don't know whether for Ron it, you know, started happening after he slept with the 3500th girl.
Ja neviem, či Ronovi toto prišlo, toto presvedčenie potom, ako sa vyspal s 3500 ženami.
Or after he did the 1200th, you know, porn video or what.
Alebo či to bolo potom, ako urobil tých 1200 porno videí.
But I'm pretty certain that sometime at some point in his life.
Ale som presvedčený o tom, že v jednom momente raz v jeho živote.
That he must have thought, you know, if there is a God.
Si musel pomyslieť, ak je Boh.
And if there's a loving God that wanted a relationship with him.
A ak je milujúci Boh, ktorý chce mať vzťah s ním.
That somewhere in his past he had crossed this line.
Že niekde v minulosti prekročil tú čiaru.
That he had committed the unforgivable sin.
Že urobil nejaký neodpustiteľný hriech.
And that he was out of the deal.
A že je mimo obraz, mimo hru.
That he had done things in the past that were just so bad.
Že urobil niektoré veci vo svojom živote, vo svojej minulosti, ktoré sú tak zlé.
That God couldn't possibly ever forgive him for that.
Že Boh mu v žiadnom prípade nemôže toto odpustiť.
And when I thought about that, it made me angry.
A keď som rozmýšľal nad tým, tak ma to nahnevalo.
Because I remember feeling exactly the same way.
Pretože som si spomenul, že ja som sa cítil presne takisto.
You know, I spent most of my life growing up in a home where we went to church every Sunday.
Ja som vyrastal v domácnosti, kde sme chodili do kostola každú nedeľu.
You know, we observed all kinds of religious things.
Pozorovali sme rôzne náboženské veci.
You know, and tried to live a good life, a good enough life.
A snažili sme sa žiť dosť dobrý život.
But I remember after coming to the reality of what I had done to my wife and my kids.
Ale pamätám si na to, keď som si uvedomil realitu toho, čo ja som urobil svojej manželke a svojim deťom.
The way that I had betrayed my wife of 15 years.
To, ako som podvádzal svoju manželku 15 rokov.
And that I had broken the hearts of my two boys.
A že som zlomil srdcia svojich dvoch synov.
That if there was a loving God, he wouldn't love me.
A ja som si vtedy myslel, že ak je milujúci Boh, tak isto nemiluje mňa.
That I had crossed that line and I had committed the unforgivable sin.
Že som prekročil tú čiaru a urobil som ten neodpustiteľný hriech.
And quite frankly that I had blown it in my life and there wasn't any hope for me.
A že som to prosto pokašľal vo svojom živote a pre mňa nie je to už žiadnej nádeje.
And yet through the process of recovery I eventually learned that too was a lie.
A v tom procese obnovy som sa však mohol naučiť, že aj toto bolo klamstvo.
You know, when I started getting serious about my recovery.
A keď som začal myslieť vážne ten svoj proces rehabilitácie a obnovy.
I got involved in these 12-step groups.
Zapojil som sa do skupiniek, ktoré sa volali skupinky 12 krokov.
You may have heard of those before, been familiar with it.
Možno je to koncept, o ktorom ste už počuli alebo ho trošku poznáte.
And one of the first things I noticed was 7 of the 12 steps dealt with your relationship with God.
A to, čo som si všimol, že 7 z tých 12 krokov jednali s mojím vzťahom s Bohom.
So when I saw that, I decided I need to get serious about this whole issue of God.
A ako som si to všimol, tak som si povedal, celú tú záležitosť Boha musím zobrať vážne.
Because ever since I left home and went to college, I left God way behind.
Pretože potom, ako som odišiel z domu a išiel na vysokú školu, Boha som nechal tam niekde veľmi vzadu.
Pretty much decided that I was going to run life my way.
Ja som sa rozhodol, že život si zariadím svojím spôsobom.
But now I had come to the end of my ability to manage my own life.
Ale teraz som prišiel na koniec svojich schopností manažovať svoj vlastný život.
And so in the process of studying this God of my youth.
A v tom procese rozmýšľania a štúdia Boha mojej mladosti.
The God of the Bible, seeking real truth about who God is.
Boha Biblie, som sa snažil zistiť, aký Boh naozaj je.
I really came up with three big things that I learned about God.
A boli tri veci, ktoré som sa naučil o Bohu.
One is that God is real.
Tá prvá, že Boh je skutočný.
That he's not some figment of my imagination.
Že on nie je len produktom mojej fantázie a predstavivosti.
And he's not some societal construct for weak people or anything.
A že nie je len nejakým sociálnym výplodom pre slabých ľudí.
That he's real and
že je skutočný,
good,
že je dobrý.
And he's relational.
A že má záujem o vzťah.
In fact, that he had created me and all of us in his image.
Že on stvoril všetkých nás, teda vrátane mňa, na nejakú svoju podobu.
So that we could have a relationship with him.
A to preto, aby sme mohli mať vzťah s ním.
And I remember being excited about reading that.
A pamätám si na to, že ma to nadchlo, keď som to čítal.
But then starting to wonder how that was going to work since I'm everything but good and everything, you know, but perfect.
Ale zrazu som si uvedomil, že toto nebude môcť fungovať asi pre mňa, pretože som čokoľvek iné, ale nie dobrý.
And that's when I discovered truth number two about God.
A vtedy som objavil pravdu číslo 2 o Bohu.
And that is that God is just.
A to je skutočnosť, že Boh je spravodlivý.
And I was happy to read about that also.
A bolo to dobre, že som sa mohol o tom naučiť.
Because that meant that all the murders and terrorists and thieves and all the bad things and bad people in the world were eventually going to get their just deserve.
Pretože som si uvedomil, že všetci tí zlí ľudia, vrahovia, teroristi a všetci podvodníci, dôjde na nich Božia spravodlivosť.
In essence, that good was going to win out over evil.
Teda inými slovami povedané, že dobro zvíťazí nad zlým.
But then I discovered a problem with that too.
Ale v tom som našiel tiež jeden problém.
I started looking at my own life.
Pozrel som sa na svoj život.
And I started thinking, well, then how is God going to judge what I've done?
A položil som si otázku, ako Boh bude posudzovať to, čo ja som urobil.
I mean, I created my own brand of evil.
Ja som si vytvoril svoju vlastnú značku zlého.
That destroyed the at the time the lives of some people that loved me very dearly.
A zničilo to život niektorých ľudí, ktorých som miloval.
And I thought, you know, what kind of a price am I going to have to pay for that?
A tak som si musel položiť otázku, akú cenu budem musieť ja za toto zaplatiť.
And I started to feel some of that fear that I used to feel as a child, this fear of God as a judgmental God.
A zrazu som začal prežívať ten istý strach, ktorý som prežíval ako to malé dieťa. Strach z Boha, ktorý odsúdi človeka.
And that's when I discovered truth number three about God.
A vtedy som objavil tú tretiu pravdu o Bohu.
And that is that God is love.
A to je to, že Boh je láska.
And I started to learn that in fact God demonstrated how much he loves us.
A naučil som sa to, že Boh prejavil to, ako veľmi nás má rád.
By sending his one and only son here to this earth.
Tým, že poslal svojho jedného jediného syna tu na zem.
To live among us, you know, fully man and fully God.
Aby žil medzi nami ako v plnej miere Boh a zároveň v plnej miere človek.
To live and experience our pain and our hurts.
Aby žil ako človek, teda prežíval a skúsil bolesti, ktorými prechádzame my.
And yet being without blame to die a horrible death on a cross.
A napriek tomu žil život bez niečoho zlého a nakoniec zomrel za hriechy na kríži.
As a price and as a payment for our sins.
Ako cena za hriechy všetkých nás.
And since by then I'd seen myself as a sinner.
A odvtedy som videl seba ako hriešnika.
I knew that Jesus had died for my sins too.
A uvedomil som si, že Ježiš zomrel aj za moje hriechy.
And that was incredibly powerful and overwhelming for me.
A to bolo pre mňa veľmi silné, veľmi premáhajúce.
And as I learned more about this loving God,
ako som sa naučil viac o tomto milujúcom Bohu,
I learned that this was actually an ultimate act of love.
Ja som si uvedomil, že toto bol prejav veľkej Božej lásky, konečnej Božej lásky.
That he determined needed to be done in order for us to have a relationship with him.
Že on urobil všetko to, čo mohol urobiť preto, aby my sme mohli mať vzťah s ním.
You know, I grew up never realizing that I could have a relationship with God.
Ja keď som vyrastal, som si nikdy neuvedomil, že môžem mať osobný vzťah s Bohom.
I think maybe I thought of him kind of the way I thought of my father, which at times scared me.
Myslím si, že som sa na Boha pozeral tak, ako som sa niekedy pozeral na svojho otca a niekedy to naozaj bol ustrachaný pohľad.
And yet at times filled me with a lot of hope in what I wanted him to be.
A niekedy ma to však naplňalo nádejou v súvislosti s tým, čo som chcel, aby on bol.
And yet here it was, I was reading this picture of God as he described himself, not as a reflection of my earthly father.
A zrazu som sa pozeral na ten obraz Boha, tak ako som o ňom čítal, a nebol to ten obraz, ktorý som si premietal z obrazu môjho otca.
But as the perfection of my earthly father.
Ale ako zdokonalenie môjho pozemského otca.
And I remember reading that in order for me to really understand God's love,
a k tomu, aby som bol schopný pochopiť Božiu lásku,
all he asked of me was to simply accept by faith what he had done in sacrificing his son for my sins.
To jediné, o čo ma požiadal, je, aby som vierou prijal, že dal v tej láske svojho syna za tie moje hriechy.
So I did something I'd never done before, even growing up in a religious home.
A tak som urobil niečo, čo som neurobil nikdy predtým, napriek tomu, že som vyrastal v náboženskom prostredí.
Because I felt like God was asking me to make a decision to simply either accept or reject this free gift.
A to som urobil preto, lebo som to cítil tak, že Boh ma vyzýva k tomu, aby som spravil rozhodnutie buď prijať, alebo odmietnúť tento dar, ktorý bol daný z lásky zadarmo.
I remember reading this verse of scripture that said, I stand at the door and knock.
A ja si pamätám na to, ako som čítal biblický citát, kde sa píše, stojím pri dveriach a klopem.
Whoever hears my voice
a ktokoľvek počuje môj
and lets me in
a vpustí ma dnu,
I'll come into him.
Ja prídem ku nemu.
And it was such a beautiful picture of relationship that was so simple.
A bol to tak jednoduchý obraz vzťahu, ktorý bol veľmi pekný.
So I prayed a prayer one day.
A tak som sa modlil jedného dňa modlitbu.
And it went something like this. It was very simple.
A bola to veľmi jednoduchá modlitba. Znelo to takto nejako.
It was just, God, thank you so much for loving me.
Modlil som sa, Bože, ďakujem ti veľmi za to, že ma miluješ.
And wanting a relationship with me.
Za to, že chceš mať vzťah so mnou.
And Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins.
A Ježiš, ďakujem ti za to, že ty si zomrel za moje hriechy na kríži.
And thank you for rising again to overcome sin, even sin unto death.
A ďakujem ti za to, že si znovu vstal, preto aby si premohol hriech a moc hriechu smrti.
Now I open the door of my heart, I open my life to you.
Ja otváram svoje srdce pre teba, ja ti otváram svoj život.
And I invite you, Jesus, to come in and be Lord and Savior of my life.
A ja ťa pozývam, Pane Ježiši, aby si prišiel ku mne, aby si bol mojim spasiteľom.
Now make me into the person you've always wanted me to be.
Urob ma tým človekom, ktorým si ma vždy chcel mať.
I got to tell you, I did that. I prayed that prayer at a pretty low time in my life.
Ja som urobil toto, modlil som sa túto modlitbu.
A time when I really didn't know what was going to come of the rest of my life.
A ja som vtedy nevedel, čo ma čaká zbytok môjho života.
And yet from that moment forward, God started doing amazing things as I kind of got out of the way.
A napriek tomu Boh, potom ako som sa toto modlil a uhol som mu z cesty, začal robiť krásne veci v mojom živote.
One of the most important things was he taught me what my greatest need was as a person.
A jedna z vecí, ktorú urobil, bolo to, že ma naučil, čo je tá moja najväčšia potreba, potreba človeka.
And it wasn't sex.
A nebol to sex?
It wasn't even to be loved or to be accepted.
A nebolo to ani to, že potrebujem byť milovaný a prijatý.
But it became clear for me that day sitting in that jacuzzi.
Ale bolo mi to jasné v ten deň, ako som sedel v tom jacuzzi.
As I felt this compassion and this love.
Cítil tento súcit a túto lásku.
for this person that many people ridiculed and many people had already judged.
Pre toho človeka, z ktorého sa mnohí smiali a ktorého mnohí odsúdili.
And it mattered to me where he spent eternity.
A pre mňa to bolo dôležité vedieť, kde tento človek strávi večnosť.
It mattered so much that I would have been willing and still would be willing to lay my life down for him.
Záležalo mi na tom tak veľmi a dodnes mi na tom tak záleží, že by som bol ochotný svoj život dať pre neho.
And that's when I realized that that's exactly what Jesus had done for me.
A vtedy som si uvedomil, že toto je presne to, čo Ježiš urobil pre mňa.
And in accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior.
A tým, že som prijal Pána Ježiša Krista ako svojho Pána Spasiteľa.
God's taught me something that I would have never discovered otherwise.
Boh ma naučil niečo, čo by som inak nikdy nezistil.
That my greatest need, our greatest need.
Že moja najväčšia potreba, naša najväčšia potreba
is to love others the way that God loves us.
Milovať iných tak, ako Boh miluje nás.
Is to love others in a way that we can't possibly do apart from God.
Milovať iných takým spôsobom, akým my to sami nevieme len v Bohu.
That is our greatest need, and that is the most, the strongest power that all of us have within us when
we
accept Christ.
Toto je naša najväčšia potreba, a toto je tá najväčšia vec, ktorú máme vtedy, keď príjmeme Krista.
So in closing, my question to you is simply this.
A tak ako budem teraz skončiť, mám jednoduchú otázku pre vás záverom.
What do you think about when you think about God?
Čo vás napadne, keď počujete Boh?
You know, do you think of a judgmental, you know, kind of mean-spirited being out there that you can't relate to?
Napadne vás odsudzujúca bytosť, ktorá je vzdialená, krutá ku vám?
Do you think about someone who's distant and isn't interested in the detail of your life?
Myslíte na niekoho, kto je veľmi vzdialený a nezaujíma sa o detaily vášho života?
Or do you think about a loving father who desires a relationship with each and every one of you?
Alebo myslíte na niekoho, kto je milujúcim otcom, ktorý túži mať a rozvinúť vzťah s vami?
And do you think of a loving father who gave up his only son and is asking you simply to accept that free gift as a way to experience forgiveness of all your sins and eternal life?
Myslíte na milujúceho otca, ktorý dal svojho syna za vaše previnenia a pozýva vás k tomu, aby ste prijali tento dar, ktorý dal za vás zadarmo.
In closing here tonight, if the desires of your heart,
dnes večer, ako končíme, ak je to túžbou vášho vnútra,
is similar to the words that I shared in my prayer.
Je to podobná túžba ako to, čo som hovoril ja v tej modlitbe.
If you'd like to start experiencing a whole different level of intimacy with God.
Ak by si chcel zažiť úplne inú novú úroveň intimity s Bohom.
It's available to everyone in this room no matter what you've done or what's been done to you.
Je to k dispozícii pre každého z vás bez ohľadu na to, čo ste urobili.
And it's simply accepting an invitation from him.
A je to jednoducho len prijatie pozvania od neho.
I'm going to pray the prayer that I prayed before.
Ja sa budem modliť modlitbu, ktorú som sa ja modlil už predtým.
And I just invite anyone here who wants to pray that same prayer to God silently to yourself.
A ja vás chcem pozvať, ak sa niekto chce túto modlitbu modliť potichu.
You know, it's not the words that are special, it's where your heart is.
A to nie je o špeciálnych slovíčkach tej modlitby, to je o postoji srdca.
God already knows that, but if you want to invite Jesus Christ into your heart, I invite you to say these words along with me.
A je to niečo, čo Boh už aj tak pozná, ale ak chcete pozvať Pána Ježiša do svojho vnútra, tak vás pozývam k tomu, aby ste to urobili so mnou.
God, thank you for loving me and wanting a relationship with me.
Bože, ďakujem ti za to, že ma miluješ a za to, že chceš mať vzťah so mnou.
And Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, Ježiš, to forgive my sins.
Ďakujem ti za to, že si zomieral na kríži preto, aby si odpustil moje hriechy.
And to give me an opportunity at eternal life and a relationship with you.
Aby si mi dal večný život a vzťah s tebou.
As you said in your words, I open the heart now. I open the door of my heart and my life.
Tak, ako ty si to povedal svojimi slovami, ja otváram svoje srdce, ja otváram svoje vnútro pre teba.
And I invite Jesus into my life to be my Lord and Savior.
A ja pozývam Pána Ježiša, aby bol mojím pánom a spasiteľom.
Now come into my life and do something amazing. Make me into the person you always wanted me to be.
Prídi do môjho života, urob premenu, urob niečo úžasné, urob ma človekom, akým si ma ty vždy chcel mať.
Those are such powerful words, because when it comes straight from your heart, when you really mean it, God knows it.
A toto sú veľmi silné slová. Ak ich povieš zo svojho srdca, Boh na ne bude reagovať a bude ich brať vážne.
The other thing I learned about God in all that time is that God is a God of promises.
A tá ďalšia vec, ktorú som sa naučil o Bohu v tom období môjho života, je fakt, že Boh je Bohom zaslúbení.
He keeps his promises, and to me the greatest of those is where he says, I will never leave you. For those who love me, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you, not even until the end of time.
A on dodržiava svoje zasľúbenia, tak ako ich povedal pre tých, ktorí ma milujú, nikdy ich neopustím až do konca časov.
That's how you know that God has really taken residence deep inside of you.
Takto môžete vedieť, že Boh prišiel do vášho vnútra, udomácnil sa u vás.
And hold on, because each and every one of you, once you're able to start expressing God's love into other people's lives, you can change this campus, you can change this country, you can change this world.
A držte sa toho, pretože ako dovolíte Bohu, aby vás zaujal zvnútra, tak budete vedieť tou Božou láskou si vytvoriť vzťahy, ktoré premenia celý tento internát, premenia vaše mesto, premenia vašu krajinu.
You guys have been so wonderful tonight. And I want to ask you, as we wrap up tonight, to do me one special favor.
Boli ste úžasní poslucháči, a ako dnes večer končíme, tak vás chcem požiadať o jednu priazeň.
So I don't get an opportunity to speak internationally all that often.
Keďže nemám príležitosť hovoriť v zahraničí často.
And I would really value your feedback and to hear back from you.
Veľmi by som si vážil vašu spätnú väzbu.
So could you do me a favor and on your seats just hand it out during the break? There were some comment cards that were passed.
Preto vás chcem veľmi pekne poprosiť o jednu priazeň. Na vašich stoličkách boli počas prestávky distribuované malé kartičky spätnej väzby.
Yeah, if you could pull those out for a second and let me just walk through these real quickly and maybe you can start filling those out before you leave for those of you who aren't staying for the Q&A.
Preto, ak dovolíte, chcel by som vás veľmi rýchlo previesť týmito kartičkami a prípadne môžete ich začať vyplňovať pre tých z vás, ktorí neostanete na otázky a odpovede.
You'll notice that there are some things that you can check off on the front of the card.
Môžete si všimnúť, že sú tam hneď v úvode časti, ktoré môžete označiť.
And then some places for you to put some contact information.
A takisto je tam priestor pre to, aby ste uviedli nejaký kontakt.
And also on the back you'll notice there's a lot of blank space. You can write what you like or didn't like about tonight.
A takisto na druhej strane je prázdny priestor a ten môžete využiť na to, aby ste napísali, čo sa vám páčilo alebo čo sa vám nepáčilo dnes večer.
Any comments, any feedback, and with an interpreter's help, I will read those.
A akékoľvek komentáre, spätnú väzbu, čokoľvek, čo máte, ja s pomocou prekladateľa si to budem môcť prečítať.
But I would really value your feedback.
A naozaj si budem veľmi vážiť vašu spätnú väzbu.
Also, if you wouldn't mind, if you happen to pray a prayer tonight as I was praying, maybe your own words or you followed along with me.
A takisto tá druhá vec, ktorú by som sa chcel spýtať, možno dnes, ako sme sa modlili, si sa modlil túto modlitbu možno svojimi vlastnými slovami.
And you invited Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life tonight for the first time.
Ty si poprvýkrát možno vo svojom živote pozval Pána Ježiša, aby sa stal tvojim osobným spasiteľom.
I would just love to know that, and if you could just put a check mark up in the corner somewhere.
A ja by som to veľmi rád vedel a ak ťa môžem poprosiť to naznačiť niekde v pravo hore v tom rohu, budem si to veľmi vážiť.
And also there's another card here where if you have a question that you want to ask, we're going to only have time to do a few questions tonight, but tomorrow night we're going to do a full program of question and answer.
A takisto teda je tam tá druhá kartička, je to kartička na otázky. Ak máte otázky, aj dnes večer môžeme zodpovedať niektoré z nich, avšak zajtra večer budeme mať celý večer na otázky a odpovede.
Yeah, we won't do the whole video program, we'll just get right into question and answer the whole time.
Zajtra, ako sa stretneme, rovno pôjdeme k otázkam a k odpovediam.
So you can either come back tomorrow night and ask your question in person, or you can ask it privately on the card and submit that, and we'll respond to each and every one of those.
Takže môžete otázku buď napísať, alebo môžete sa zajtra večer vrátiť a položiť tú otázku.
Then finally, I think, Doug, you were asking if they wanted to speak to someone English-speaking, okay, about this topic. If you could put a star, okay, not a check, but a star in the corner of your card, then we'd know and be able to provide someone for you to be able to speak with on that.
A ak by ste chceli s niekým z anglicky hovoriaceho tímu rozprávať o týchto otázkach, tak vás poprosíme, aby ste nám na tú kartičku nakreslili hviezdičku a podľa toho vás budeme kontaktovať.
Yeah. Was that clear enough or is there
Bolo to zrozumiteľné?
Okay, good. All right, so I'm going to let you go ahead and continue writing for about a minute and then we're going to have another person come up and do a final announcement.
A takže teraz vám dám minútku na to, aby ste prípadne ešte dopísali, čo potrebujete napísať a potom ešte niekto príde a spraví záverečný oznam.
And then that'll be the end of our official program, so you can leave if you want, or those who want to stick around for about 10 minutes worth of Q&A, we'll do that afterwards.
A to bude ukončenie nášho oficiálneho programu a vy, ktorí potrebujete ísť, nech sa vám páči. Vy, ktorí chcete ostať, môžete ešte ostať a budeme mať približne 10 minút na otázky a odpovede už dnes večer.
So I'll let you go ahead and continue writing.
Takže nech sa páči, dopíšte.
Dobre, takže ja by som chcel ešte raz všetkým vám poďakovať, ktorí ste tu prišli. A sme naozaj veľmi radi, že ste si našli čas dneska večer a že ste nás tak posielili svojou návštevou. Chcel by som ešte, zďaleka nekončíme. Michael bude ešte zodpovieť niekoľko otázok, približne asi 10 minút. A potom chcel by som vás pozvať zajtra o 8:30 v UPC-čku, malej sále. Budeme tu opäť znovu a budeme sa viac venovať týmto otázkam, ktoré určite máte nejaké a Michael vlastne zodpovie tieto otázky. A taktiež, pokiaľ nemáte dneska večer nejaký program alebo sa neponáhľate, tak sme pre vás pripravili taký, my to nazývame, že je to taký coffee house, takže môžete sa zastaviť pri tých stoloch, ktoré sú tam vzadu. A je tam nejaké také malé občerstvenie pre vás, takže kľudne sa zastavte a možno bude aj taký neoficiálny priestor na rozhovory jednak s Michaelom alebo jednak aj s tímom Američanov, ktorí sú tu z Texasu. Takže ak máte ešte čas a naozaj sa neponáhľate, tak kľudne ostaňte. Ďakujem.
All right. Great. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you all so much for coming out tonight, really. He's back on. Thank you for coming out tonight.
Ďakujem, že ste prišli dnes večer.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and do Q&A for about 10 minutes.
Takže, budeme mať asi 10 minút otázok a odpovedí.
Now, if you have a question, I think do we have a microphone around here somewhere?
Ak máme otázku, tak je tu k dispozícii mikrofón.
We have one right here.
Okay. Mikrofón je tu.
There you go. Oh, okay. I'm going to send the portable. So, do we have someone? Doug, do you want to...
Takže go pošleme ahead. Prípadne prenosný mikrofón bezdrotový. Kto má otázku, môže zdvihnúť svoju ruku.
If you have a question, if you could raise your hand real high, and we'll get to you as many of you as we can.
A pokusíme sa dostať mikrofón ku vám.
Já se zeptám česky jenom, kdo vytvářel ty filmy?
It's a person that I've worked with in the past in Atlanta, in the United States.
A proč v tom úvodním filmu bylo nazváno v té části před tou anketou, že nyní se podíváme na obnaženou pravdu?
And why did the intro part said now we'll look at the naked truth?
Well, naked truth is kind of a metaphor, if you will.
Tá holá pravda je metafora, ak to tak môžem povedať.
You know,
one of the things that I've tried to do through this presentation,
jedna z vecí, ktorú som sa snažil urobiť počas tejto prezentácie,
is to just share honestly my own story,
je úprimné porozprávanie môjho príbehu,
and also share some of the things that I've learned along the way that most people aren't aware of.
A takisto tých niektorých vecí, ktoré som sa naučil na tej svojej ceste, ktorú mnohí ľudia nevedia.
Not just about pornography, but about the sexualization of the culture.
A to nie len o pornografii, ale takisto o sexualizácii našej kultúry.
Yeah. So my purpose wasn't to show pornography per se.
Takže môjim zámerom nebolo ukázať na pornografiu ako takú, alebo len na ňu.
But I think also to show how much there is that we don't even notice.
Ale takisto na tie veci, ktoré nevidíme, ktoré sú za scénou.
That kind of just washes over us in our culture that we just take for granted.
Veci, ktoré naša kultúra automaticky prináša a my berieme tak, ako sú nám podané.
And how at least for me it affected me in the way I viewed myself.
A ako to malo dopad na mňa a na to, ako som sa vnímal.
And how it impacted the way I viewed others and acted towards them in relationship.
A ako aký to malo dopad na moje vzťahy s inými ľuďmi.
Okay. Thank you. Another question?
Ja by som sa chcel spýtať, že ste prirovnávali tu ako závislosť, ste hovorili o závislosti od pornografie a že či by sa to dalo až tak prirovnať k tým narkomanom vlastne ako...
You made a comparison of pornography addiction to drug addiction.
Ako napríklad je náhrada za heroín, je metadón alebo čo, tak to ma teraz napadlo. Takže vy teda hovoríte, že náhradou za porno je Ježiš?
Are you trying to say that the substitution for pornography is Jesus? In a similar way.
Okay, akože formuloval som to tak debilne, ale
I formulated it very straightforward.
Ale akože to som sa chcel tak priamo opýtať.
I wanted a straightforward question.
Yeah, that's great. I like straightforward.
Mám rád priame otázky.
Well, on the first part,
v tej prvej časti,
understand that the idea of sexual addiction is still very controversial.
Rozumiem tomu, že záležitosť sexuálnej závislosti je stále veľmi kontroverzná.
There are some people who believe that it's the number one addiction out there in terms of frequency.
Sú ľudia, ktorí sú presvedčení o tom, že je to najintenzívnejšia, najvážnejšia závislosť z pohľadu toho, ako je častá.
And others who don't believe that it's an addiction at all.
A sú iní, ktorí vôbec neveria tomu alebo nepripúšťajú, že je to závislosť.
I think it's more like an eating disorder or a behavioral addiction in some ways.
Ja by som to skôr prirovnal k poruchám v stravovaní.
You know, there's nothing wrong with sex and it's, you know, we can all be very healthy and be sexual and in ways.
Samozrejme nie je nič zlé na sexe a môžeme byť všetci zdraví a mať dobrý sexuálny život.
But we can also abuse it as well, just like a person can abuse food and develop an eating disorder.
Presne, ale môžeme takisto zneužiť sex rovnako ako jedlo sa môže premeniť na poruchy v stravovaní.
So while it may not be as addictive as certain things, maybe like methamphetamine.
Takže možno to nie je až tak návykové ako metamfetamín.
We are discovering that for many people it has very addictive qualities, especially internet pornography, because it's so available.
Avšak v tej praxi zistujeme, že má to naozaj výrazné návykové črty, zvlášť internetová pornografia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, you know, again, you can use it or abuse it.
Takže samozrejme je to o tom, môžete to využívať alebo zneužívať.
But from my personal experience, even moderate use of pornography led to negative consequences.
Ale tá moja osobná skúsenosť bola o tom, že aj relatívne striedme využívanie pornografie viedlo k zlým dôsledkom.
Yeah, and that was just my personal experience.
Ale to bola moja osobná skúsenosť.
On your second question.
Vaša druhá otázka?
I have to remember how you said it, but
potrebujem si spomenúť, ako presne bola položená.
I don't feel like I'm necessarily, you know, replacing an addiction to pornography with an addiction to Jesus?
Ja nemyslím, že chcem povedať, že nevyhnutne zamieňam závislosť na pornografii za závislosť na Ježišovi.
But the one thing I discovered is in recovery to become healthy again.
Ale jedna vec, ktorú som ja zistil v tom procese obnovy alebo rehabilitácie u mňa,
myself and many others who have gone down this path,
ja a takisto mnohí ďalší, ktorí zašli touto cestou,
have discovered that we have to go through some healing both in terms of physical recovery.
Zistili sme, že potrebujeme prejsť nejakým uzdravením, čo malo svoju fyzickú dimenziu alebo fyzické uzdravenie.
And also a spiritual recovery.
Ale takisto duchovné obnovenie.
What's interesting is the father of the study of sexual addiction.
Je veľmi zaujímavé, že otec štúdií sexuálnych závislostí,
psychologist by the name of Dr. Patrick Carnes,
psychológ Dr. Patrick
Carnes. Who happens to be an atheist,
ktorý je ateista,
has admitted in many of his writings that most people who become addicted are on a search for God.
Hovoril a sám to priznáva, že mnohí ľudia, ktorí sa stali závislí, hľadajú Boha.
So it's pursuing the fulfillment of a legitimate need in an illegitimate way.
Takže z toho by sa dalo povedať, že je to naplnenie legitímnej potreby nelegitímnym spôsobom.
Because when a person's an addict, they act like they are God.
Pretože keď je niekto závislý, tak sa správa ako keby bol Boh.
So it was important for me to come to the realization that he's God and I'm not.
A pre mňa preto bolo dôležité si uvedomiť, že on je Boh a ja nie som.
And the reason that I share my experience with Jesus Christ.
A dôvod, že teda hovorím alebo zdieľam sa s tou mojou skúsenosťou s Ježišom Kristom,
is because that was the personal decision that I made and the only experience that I've had spiritually.
Je to, že prosto to bolo to moje osobné rozhodnutie, ktoré som urobil, a tá moja duchovná skúsenosť, ktorú som prežil.
Which happened to work for me.
A bolo to niečo, čo fungovalo pre mňa.
No, I'm not addicted to Jesus.
Nie som závislý na Ježišovi.
Because my life's not unmanageable.
Pretože môj život nie je nezvládnutelný, nemanažovateľný.
I'm not experiencing severe consequences as a result of my choice.
Nezakúšam nejaké kruté dôsledky vzhľadom na svoju voľbu.
Yeah, if anything, it's helped to heal my relationships with others.
Ale keď niečo pomohlo uzdraviť moje vzťahy s inými,
and to really bring balance back into my life.
A priniesť rovnováhu do môjho života.
So. Thanks. Good questions.
Dobré otázky, veľmi dobré otázky.
We have one up here, Doug.
Máme jednu otázočku tu.
Yes.
Všimli sme si, že máte na prste obrúčku, tak sa chceme spýtať, či ste sa nakoniec vrátili k tej svojej manželke, s ktorou ste sa rozviedli.
We saw there is a ring on your hand. Did you come back to your wife or what has happened?
Actually, thank you. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to really embarrass someone in this room.
Ďakujem vám za príležitosť skutočne zahambiť niekoho v tejto miestnosti.
The last time I traveled to Europe to give this presentation, I came all alone.
Minule, keď som cestoval do Európy a robili sme túto prezentáciu, tak som prišiel sám.
Even though I was a 4-month newlywed at the time.
Aj keď som bol čerstvo oženený vtedy.
And this time I have brought my lovely wife Christine.
A teraz som priniesol moju úžasnú manželku Christine. Prosím ťa, povstaň.
And she is the true love of my life.
A ona je skutočnou láskou môjho života.
And I am very addicted to her.
A som veľmi závislý na nej.
But actually she's going to be part of our Q&A tomorrow night that I forgot to mention earlier.
Zabudol som spomenúť, že ona bude zajtra súčasťou našich otázok a odpovedí.
Because as I do this program, I always get asked questions by the students.
A pretože vždy keď robíme tento program, tak študenti sa nás pýtajú otázky.
Of how's your relationship now with your kids?
Aký je tvoj vzťah v súčasnosti s deťmi?
Even how's your relationship with your ex-wife? And I'll talk more about that too.
Aký je tvoj vzťah k tvojej ex-manželke? A ja poviem o tom viac.
But especially, how's your relationship with your wife? And how is that working for you now?
A tiež, aký je tvoj vzťah s tvojou manželkou? Ako ti to teraz funguje?
So I thought instead of speaking for her, I'd put her on a plane this time.
Takže rozhodol som sa, že namiesto toho, aby som rozprával za ňu, som ju radšej posadil na lietadlo.
And bring her along with me.
A priniesol som ju so sebou. Ďakujem veľmi pekne.
By the way, the students in the States always catch that also, so
a mimochodom,
not that much a difference between y'all.
Študenti Spojených štátov amerických sa vždy pýtajú na to, takže nie je tu veľký rozdiel.
Great. Let's take one more question, and then I hope that you guys can all come back tomorrow night, and we'll do a lot more of this.
Môžeme, chcem vytvoriť priestor ešte pre jednu otázku, a dúfam, že zajtra
maybe
budete
we'll do
môcť.
Two more, because there was one over here.
Ešte niekto, tak dajme dve okay. Otázky ešte.
Yes. Okay, I will try in English.
Thank you.
So, first, my opinion that I can accept notion or fact if you want that pornography or too frequent exposure to pornography can be harmful for our lives mm-hmm. and relationships, but I refuse to accept fact that that only way to lead a fight, to personal fight against pornography or addiction to this is mm-hmm. that is through accepting one particular religious tradition. Mm-hmm. So my question is that do you think that leading a fight against pornography in myself or in every man or woman can be based on non-religious grounds? In other words, that God or faith don't play any role in that?
My personal belief, thank you for your question. And
ďakujem.
Thank you for giving it in English.
Za otázku, položenú po anglicky.
What's that?
Should I? Asi to netreba, ale predsa pre istotu. Krátke zhrnutie otázky, dúfam to nepokazím, je také. Viem v princípe prijať fakt, že nadmerné odovzdanie sa pornografii či prepadnutie pornografii je škodlivé. Nie som schopný však stotožniť sa s tým, že jediným riešením je prijatie jednej náboženskej tradície. Chcem sa preto spýtať, či existuje nejaké iné nenáboženské riešenie alebo spôsob videnia zo závislosti na pornografii. Môže byť tak? Ďakujem.
Okay. I'll assume he's right. my own personal experience has
moja
been...
Moja osobná skúsenosť je...
I've seen people who have tried going through just the physical recovery.
Videl som, stretol som ľudí, ktorí sa snažili prejsť len fyzickou rehabilitáciou.
And the physiological.
Fyziologickou.
Without dealing with the soul level issues of what's driving them to the material. What is it that's missing?
Bez toho, aby riešili tú duševnú podstatu, odpoveď na tie otázky, čo ma za tým ženie, čo mi skutočne chýba.
Yeah, and I see a lot of them become addicted to recovery.
A spoznal som mnohých, ktorí nakoniec zostali závislí na tom procese obnovovania alebo rehabilitácie.
You know, they spend all their time going to recovery group meetings and that's all they hang out with are people in recovery.
A nakoniec mnohí z nich boli takí, ktorí sa znovu a znovu vracali do tých rehabilitačných skupiniek a to sa stalo náplňou ich života, to ich naplnilo.
Now, I've also seen people
ale tiež som videl ľudí,
who feel that recovery is solely a spiritual discipline.
Ktorí to vnímali tak, že tá rehabilitácia je len duchovná disciplína.
So they dive into their religiosity, if you will.
A tak sa ponorili do toho svojho náboženstva, ak to tak môžem povedať.
You know, try to totally pray their way through this.
A snažili sa premodliť tento proces nejako.
Meanwhile, the internet's over there kind of flashing porn every once in a while. And...
A sem tam ten internet ich zlákal.
And so they're not really going through some of the physical recovery that they need to.
A neprechádzajú, neuvedomujú si potrebu prejsť aj cez to fyzické obnovenie.
To deal with some of the biological realities of who they are as sexual beings.
A nejednajú s niektorými tými biologickými realitami toho, kto sú ako sexuálne bytosti.
So I think that a healthy recovery, and I'm not the only person with this view in the experts world.
A preto ja si myslím, že zdravý prístup k rehabilitácii
really requires that you equally go through both a
you know, dealing with the physical recovery.
Naozaj vyžaduje obe tie časti, teda na jednej strane je to tá fyzická, fyziologická rehabilitácia.
And dealing with the soul level issues, the issues that are really at the core of what is it that's driving you to behave in this way.
Ale takisto je to jednanie s tými záležitosťami duše, teda analyzovaním toho, čo spôsobuje, že to chcem robiť, potrebujem robiť.
Now, my personal journey, the reason I only share that,
a tá moja osobná cesta, a to je dôvod, prečo to tak podávam,
is because I obviously don't have any qualifications to speak to any other, you know, religious background or faith.
Ja nemám kvalifikáciu na to, aby som hovoril alebo zastupoval nejaké iné náboženské presvedčenie.
I think it would be inappropriate for me to say, well, these three or four different ways can lead you to the same result when I've only gone down one path.
Z môjho hľadiska teda by nebolo fér povedať, že tieto tri alebo štyri cesty by vás mohli z toho vyviesť, lebo ja som prešiel len jednu z nich.
But again, that path happened to work for me.
Ale tá cesta fungovala pre mňa.
So what I simply suggest is for those who want to explore other avenues of spirituality or maybe not dealing with the spiritual at all,
A tak jediné, čo by som mohol navrhnúť, je, že pre tých, ktorí chcú skúsiť tie iné cesty duchovnosti alebo vôbec vynechať ten duchovný aspekt,
you know, that they feel free to do that.
Cítite sa slobodne to urobiť, to skúsiť.
But if they are exploring spiritual solutions,
ale ak hľadáte duchovné riešenia,
as part of this, I just encourage them to investigate the God of the Bible.
Tak pozbudzujem ľudí, aby sa pozreli na alternatívu Boha Biblie.
Simply on the basis of my own personal experience.
A to jednoducho na základe mojej osobnej skúsenosti.
So, okay, thank you. All right, last question over here.
Posledná otázka tu.
Dobrý večer, ďakujem. Ja som sa spýtať, ste hovorili, že teda pri závislosti od pornografie človeka čaká cesta duchovná, duševná, ale aj tá fyzická a telesná. Chcem sa spýtať na také praktické nejaké vaše skúsenosti, akým spôsobom fyzicky sa človek nejakým spôsobom zbaví takejto závislosti a príťažlivosti od tejto mánie.
I would like to ask, you've mentioned that obviously there are at least two aspects involved. One is the physical or physiological aspect, and the other one is the aspect of soul or spirituality. Mm-hmm. I would like to ask you a question dealing back to the physical or physiological. Mm-hmm. What would be your practical suggestions for steps to do in area of physical or physiological to get out of this addiction or mania? Mm.
Great question.
Veľmi dobrá otázka.
This can be a real long answer, but I'll try and shorten it some.
Toto by mohla byť veľmi dlhá odpoveď, pokúsim sa krátku verziu toho.
But you know, one of the things that I learned in recovery,
jedna z vecí, ktorú som sa naučil v tom procese rehabilitácie,
that I think applies equally whether you're struggling with an addiction.
A myslím si, že to je niečo, čo je rovnako pravdou vtedy, keď človek jedná so závislosťou,
or maybe you're just, you know, you're just repeating the same unwanted sexual behaviors.
Alebo je to len opakované nechcené sexuálne správanie.
It works equally well both ways.
A funguje to v oboch prípadoch.
We learn to kind of go back and examine the times when we, for instance, acted out sexually.
My sme sa naučili, že sme sa vracali k skúsenosti, keď sme začali takto sexuálne konať.
For instance, if I had a habit of, you know, going to certain cable TV shows late at night,
tak napríklad, keď som mal návyk, že neskoro večer som si zapínal kablovku,
that started to get me sexually aroused, which started dopamine production.
Čo ma sexuálne vzrušovalo a začalo vypôsobovať ten dopamin.
And maybe led me to going to internet porn and masturbating to porn.
A potom ma to viedlo k tomu, že som naprovsoval na internete porno a masturboval som.
You know, even though I swore to myself that I wasn't ever going to do that again.
Napriek tomu, že som prisahal, že to už nikdy neurobím.
We learned to kind of go back and look at it as a timeline.
Naučili sme sa vrátiť po tej časovej osi.
And kind of unpack the different behaviors along the way.
A rozobrať tie jednotlivé zložky správania v tom procese.
All the way back to what was I feeling and what was I doing before I actually started looking at porn?
Späť k tomu, že sme zanalyzovali, čo som cítil vtedy, keď som sa rozhodol, že siahnem po porne.
And this is an actual example that I went through in my own life.
A toto je napríklad konkrétny príklad, ktorým som ja prešiel v mojom živote.
Anytime I was up watching TV after 11 o'clock at night.
Kedykoľvek som pozeral televíziu po 11:00 večer.
Maybe I was just bored or I was just stressed out and wanted to relax.
Bežne to bolo tým, že bol som unudený alebo bol som len vystresovaný a chcel som si oddychnúť.
That's when like what I would call a lot of the kind of softcore teasers would come on.
A vtedy také jemné vecičky vyšli na povrch.
Yeah. And so I would go back and realize, okay, if I'm gonna not be looking at porn at 1 o'clock in the morning,
tak som si uvedomil, že ak nechcem o jednej ráno skončiť pri tom, že budem pozerať porno,
then the best thing I can do is not be watching TV after 11 o'clock.
Tak najlepšia vec, ktorú môžem urobiť, je, že nezapnem televízor o 11. hodine.
And so I would have to relearn a new habit of doing something else, either going to bed.
Tak som sa musel naučiť alebo vytvoriť si nový návyk, napríklad tým, že som šiel do postele skôr.
You know, if I wasn't tired reading a book or something else.
Alebo ak som nebol unavený, čítal som namiesto toho knihu alebo čokoľvek iné.
Now, another important part of that is to have some kind of accountability with someone else for that.
Ďalšia dôležitá vec je mať nejakú zúčtovateľnosť v tomto procese.
You know, a lot of times these are just habits that we don't even think about, that we just do automatically.
Niekedy sú to totižto návyky, nad ktorými ani nerozmýšľame, je to niečo, čo len tak automaticky urobíme.
TV, watching late night TV was such a big struggle for me in my overall use of pornography.
Pre mňa neskoré pozeranie televízie bolo veľmi intenzívnym štarterom pornografie v mojom živote.
That's why I cut the cable on my TV and got rid of it for a whole year.
A preto som na rok vypojil kablovku.
Because I was living single in an apartment and I really didn't have any other accountability for a while.
Pretože som býval sám v byte a nemal som žiadnu formu zúčtovateľnosti.
Yeah. So it's just to kind of take your behavior and divide it up into parts and try to attack the problem before you head down that slippery slope.
Takže jedna z tých vecí, ktorú by som spomenul, je, že vziať to svoje správanie, rozmeniť ho na drobné, pokúsiť sa prísť k tomu, čo to spúšťa a jednať s tým ešte predtým, ako sa to spustí.
Because understand that when I was really truly addicted, I could be up from 1 o'clock till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Pretože ja napríklad v tom období závislosti som v pohode bol hore a fičal na tom od 1 do 4. 5. ráno.
And at times that could get me in trouble in terms of sleeping through an important business meeting or whatever.
A boli obdobia, keď to spôsobilo, že potom som prespal nejaké dôležité business stretnutie ráno.
Yeah. That's just one example. I have a website and I also have some books that I've written in case you're interested.
Toto je len jeden z príkladov. Mám web stránku a takisto som napísal niekoľko kníh, ak by to niekoho zaujímalo.
And the book is called Porn Nation.
Tá kniha sa volá Porno národ.
And the website is pornnationthebook.com.
Tá stránka sa volá pornnation.
The book, yeah, pornnation the book, all one word.
pornnationthebook.com.
Yeah. And there I go into a lot more detail on those strategies.
A tam je niekoľko viac detailov v súvislosti s touto stratégiou.
Great. All right, you guys have been so wonderful. Thank you so much for having me here tonight.
Úžasný, ďakujem veľmi pekne, že som tu mohol byť.
I hope to see you guys all back tomorrow night, okay?
A dúfam, že vás uvidím zajtra večer.
You can drop your cards off, I think, as you walk out towards the exits.
A ako budete vychádzať, svoje kartičky môžete nechať tu.
Thank you.
Ďakujem vám pekne.